this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Furrow Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Do you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Will.
Here.
Ian.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Flores.
Here.
Jewell.
Here.
Gleba.
Here.
First up on our agenda, we have a proclamation for Older Americans Month. But before we do that, I would like to take this moment to announce that the state of New Jersey has approved our request to fund, to go ahead with the forensic audit. We got that approval late today. Next step will be to have the contract go out to the auditing firm, have them sign it, and award it. So the proclamation we have for Older American Month is, whereas it has become a tradition that the month of May is designated as Older Americans Month, and whereas the growing population of older adults in our county and municipality continues to make innumerable positive contributions through their efforts as volunteers and citizens, and whereas the Borough of Washington wishes to honor our older adults for their past and present contributions and encourages our older residents to remain in the mainstream of life as they continue to play a vital role in our society and particularly in our local community, now, therefore, I, Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington, do hereby proclaim May 2011 as Older Americans Month. In witness whereof, I have set my hand this third day of May in the year of our Lord, 2011. Next up, we have a council appearance. James McDonald, our police chief, is supposed to be here. He hasn't arrived yet. So we see Mr. Gleitz is here from Hire and Gruel. And you're second on the list, but you get to go first.
Sure, thank you.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would have to come up to discuss with the council the idea of looking at the Highlands Plan conformance process. I believe you received a memo from Susan Gruel, kind of outlining some of the benefits of the process. We got a letter from Eileen Swan of the Highlands Council in March explaining that the grant funding was about to expire, so if the borough wanted to reconsider, they could go ahead and take a look at starting up the planning conformance process again. So I've been working with a number of municipalities throughout the Highlands in their planning conformance processes, but it made sense for me to come up, explain to you what we've been working on in the different towns, what benefits have arisen from the process, and answer any questions that you may have. So I don't have a lengthy presentation, but I do know you have the memo that outlines some of the benefits, and I'm here to answer really any questions that you may have about the process. If you want me to, I can give you some explanation of some of the other towns I've been working in.
Yeah, we do have a few newer members here, so perhaps if you could do that, that would be good for their benefit.
Sure. As you know, the Highlands Master Plan was passed in 08. There's been a plan conformance process. There was a number of what they called modules that you were supposed to participate in, starting with build-outs of municipal build-outs, going parcel by parcel, updating their database to see if there was water and sewer capacity, if they were developed or not, what they were developed as, those types of things, so they could churn all this data through their models to find out what the proper planning outcomes would be, what their water supply needs are, the wastewater supply needs, all those types of things. Really trying to get a cross-check on the ground with the different municipalities to see what's really going on parcel by parcel throughout the entire Highlands region. Beyond that, there was a number of modules where you would do a draft environmental resource inventory, start working on your housing plan, your affordable housing plan, the master plan element that will be necessary to conform with the Highlands, ordinance changes that will be necessary to conform with the Highlands, and other types of implementation procedures, providing the Highlands with all your municipal documents, your planning documents, ordinances, those types of things. So a lot of the towns have gone through this process. In the preservation area, it was required to go through. For those lands that were in the preservation area, for the planning area, it was voluntary. Some towns were pure planning, like you guys are, some were pure preservation, a lot of towns were a mix. Some towns are 50-50, some towns only had a little corner, some towns only had a little bit of planning area. So I've worked with a couple of different towns throughout that process, going through the planning conformance process that was, it's ongoing. We had deadlines last year to get all the information in, and the Highlands Council, actually 2 years ago, the Highlands Council is in processing all those, trying to move towns forward as quickly as they can and based on some emergent issues. One of the towns I worked with was the first to complete the process and be certified as conforming. That was Byram Township, Sussex County. They were a 98% preservation area, 2% planning area. The 2% of their planning area was their old Office of Smart Growth, essentially their village center, one of the last village centers to get through before they stopped that process. Byram's case, where they had all their affordable housing eggs in one basket. They had done prior round, first and second round affordable housing, plus their growth share and everything else, on about a 50-acre site that's at the corner of 206 and Lackawanna. They've been reserving sewer capacity for the site for a long time, and they were trying to come up with a village center. You guys are blessed with having developed as this type of development over many years. Byram didn't have really a center. They were a bunch of lake communities that had developed as summer cottages in the 50s and then over time became full-time. They didn't really have a center. You know, a lot of their mail comes through Stanhope, those types of things. So they wanted a center, a sense of place. They started in the mid-90s in that process. And when the Highlands came along, because there was existing forest on their center site, the Highlands said, no, that's protected. So there was a big back and forth, you know, and they were diametrically opposed in the beginning of the process, but through a lot of communications, planning documents back and forth, meetings, workshops, other kinds of things, we were able to get to the point where the Highlands redrew their maps, designated the whole 206 corridor in Byram as a center, focusing most of the remaining sewer capacity in that village center. There were some changes. We moved the boundaries a little bit, but we maintained density, we maintained the COA, we maintained about 100,000 square foot of retail and commercial development in the center, and it was seen as kind of a win-win. The town was able to move forward. They could deal with the Highlands now instead of trying to deal with Alphabet Soup down in Trenton, and the Highlands had an early success. You know, look, we can work with towns. We can get things moving. We can do things. So the Byram went through their initial grant on planning conformance. They actually went over a little bit because they were the first. There were some, you know, growing pains in that process. And now we're working through the initial planning conformance process where we have additional monies that were provided to turn the draft documents into actual documents so that eventually when all the documents are approved, the control goes back to the, once you're lined up, once your plans are lined up and your ordinances are lined up, the land use control comes back to the municipality and grant, and you know, you have the power to grant the 17 exemptions and go through the planning conformance process. Whereas now, anybody who wants to do any kind of major development has to go through the Highlands first, then go through DEP. They have to file for their exemptions through Highlands. It becomes a 2 or 3 step process for any kind of development within the Highlands. I've been working with Oxford. They were a 50-50 type of a split. The preservation area, a lot of the preservation area is already kind of preserved. They have some large lots there, but most of their developed areas were in the planning area. They too had an old Office of Smart Growth Center that had expired, and they had the Oxford Textiles Industry site, which was because there was existing tree cover and everything else. Highlands had said, oh, that should be protected. They had a redevelopment plan in place. They had a redevelopers agreement, initial redevelopers agreement in place. And DEP was saying, well, you can't extend sewers into these areas because you're in this protection area of the Highlands. We're working now to come to reinvigorate the old center, redesignate that center, following a lot of the same boundaries, but using some of the DEP mapping to figure out where the uplands are in these forested areas that are still available for development. And we've been doing a lot of models because they're lucky, they have their own sewer plant there in town, so they have a lot more capacity than we were working with in Byram. I've been working in Pahakong. They have the old Warren Business Park that was put into the farmland preservation category for them. That was their last shot at ratables outside of their existing corridor. So they have some affordable housing issues as well. They had a couple of court-ordered development approvals on a couple of farmland sites that have run into a brick wall because of the interaction between DEP and the Highlands designation of protection areas. So every town has its own little story. Every town has its own issues, and the Highlands has been able to come in through this process, funding this process, which is a huge help in this, these times, is that there's no matching dollars. It's a grant. You apply for it. You got to report. You got to send in your deliverables. You got to, you know, check with them before you take the next step. But you go through each step along the way and produce these reports. You go through, look at the issues. The Highland staff works with you, your professionals, to try and come up with mapping solutions and doing those things to kind of address whatever the local issues are. You know, Susan and I had some conversations about what some of the benefits may be here. There's general grant money that's available through the conformance process to update your master plan and your ordinances. A lot of towns haven't really dusted off some of these documents in a while. A lot of the ordinances need to be reworked and re-looked at. We know that there are some issues with the redevelopment area. We've had, you know, the C1 stream corridors may be impacting some of the plans for the redevelopment area. There may be a way for us to work in the water allocation for those areas. Highlands is in charge of the water allocations up in this area. DEP goes to them and follows their model now for all those kind of things. So there may be a way for us to work with the Highlands to figure out, you know, which areas can and cannot be developed, where can we get these buffer reductions, where can we do this based on existing development, previously disturbed areas, other kinds of things. I don't have an answer for you, but I do know that these are the types of things that you can do in this process when working with the Highlands. With the Pohatcom case, now that we're trying to get towards center, we haven't finished that petition, but we're in the process. They've identified a number of grant monies, same thing with Byram, to focus on different types of planning activities after you've achieved that initial planning conformance, including neighborhood revitalization plans, economic development plans, sustainable development plans, environmental protection ordinances, steep slope ordinances, and riparian areas, all those kind of things where normally it's on the town to develop and then approve. Because someone in Trenton has mandated it, at least with the Highlands process, there's grant monies available to help you put that together to review it and get those approved. One thing I should mention is that at least what's been very clear in the initial Highlands plan conformance grant program is that if you get to the end of the line and decide not to conform, you don't have to pay those money back. Those are grants designed. As long as the deliverables are done, the planning is done in good faith, the analyses are done in good faith, you still have the ability at the end of the process to say, this won't work for us, not in the planning area, not in, you know, we haven't been able to address these issues to our satisfaction, so we're not going to conform. Also, if you do decide to conform, you can decide to unconform later on. You can decide that we've tried the process, we've been through it, and this isn't working for us. I think they're asking for you to go through, you know, to try it for a year or two, and perhaps go through another master plan reexamination process before you decide, you know, just to bail out within 6 months. So,
how many modules are there, Mr. Gleitz?
The initial plan conformance process identifies 7 modules.
Okay.
I think at this point, because they've gone through a lot of these, I can't speak for the Highlands, but my assumption would be that they've already processed 80 of these, you know, already, that 70 of these, that there may be an accelerated track, there may be a ways to kind of, you know, I think they've already finished the build-out stuff. I think COA, the affordable housing module, is kind of sit on the shelf. I know you guys have already been through a lot of that process. You're already down in Trenton waiting for certification, and then the courts put everything on hold.
How many modules have we completed?
I'm not sure if any of them were completed. I think some work was started on some.
On the first one?
On the build-out, and I think, you know, there was some information that's gone back and forth, and then I think as far as the Highlands is concerned, they've just moved forward. They weren't going to, you know, if there were certain holes in their mapping, they did their best with whatever information they had to move forward and keep going with the modeling. But even we've had, in Pohatcom, we had issues where we had some issues where we had bad information in the engineer's office about where the pipes were and what properties were actually connected. We got through all the 7 modules and going through we're checking the modules, and we found a few parcels that were incorrect, and we were able to correct them and put those back into the modules, you know, put them back and correct that in information. So as far as the Highlands is concerned, they're going to be updating their database for as long as they're in existence. So as different projects come on board, as whatever goes on the ground, they have to put that into their database, so there's always a way to come back and do that. The, when it comes to 4, 5, and 6, which would be the environmental resource inventory, the land use element, the master plan element for the Highlands, and the Highlands ordinance, a lot of that work was reviewing the information and filling in the blanks that were appropriate for your town. So it was basically going through, for the borough here, would be deleting all the preservation area references and saving all the planning area references and updating all the numbers to make sure that they were correct. And that would probably be a pretty quick process to get through that, because what winds up happening is their interpretation of the enabling statutes, the act itself, the timelines in the act, require them to get through certain, hit certain deadlines. And I thought the best way to do that in a certain sense was to hand out model ordinances, model master plan elements, and only when you got through the initial stages and the towns decided whether they were going to conform or not, and we all agreed on the maps, what the maps were going to say, and what our issues were on a parcel by parcel basis, then in the full conformance process would they go through and actually focus on needed language and amendments and changes into the model that were designed for the individual municipalities. So in the beginning, where there was only $12,000 or $15,000 allocated for these, some of these modules early, maybe up to $20,000 for some of these modules, in the plan conformance, the full conformance process, after you've gotten your initial certification from the Highlands, they have $30,000 to $60,000 to actually do the, you know, just as if you were doing your own master plan or your own ordinance work, to go through the planning board process, the council process, and have, you know, the fine print examined.
I think Mr. Boyle has a question or two for you.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Paul, when we say you can conform now and you can drop the conformance later on and you're not required to conform, it's very confusing. So why is it that the Highlands Council is referencing that if you don't go with the grant, you're going to lose it, if you don't have to conform? Your letter here states that, you know, and you even said to your, made the statement, emphasize there's no obligations to conform with the Highlands plan.
They set aside an initial amount of money. They said about $50,000 plus an additional $50,000 based on need for every town, for all 88 towns and the county is affected by the Highlands. So that was the initial round of funding. As with any state grant program, there is an inception point and a closeout point for those grants so that they can balance their books.
Sure.
So,
but here's my question.
Okay.
Okay, we can take the monies now, the grant, and we can not conform to this plan later on or in the future, according to your letter here.
Yes.
I can't figure that out. What's the impact then of taking the monies where there's no obligation to stay in the Highlands plan?
Is to do this, to do the planning work. Is to take, because a lot of the towns, you know.
So the planning work is for the professional planner to do these plans that aren't even required right now. There's no obligation.
No. What the planning, how this works, and I think I know where you're asking, is that the grants were designed for towns that were intending to conform or who thought they'd make sense for them to conform. They had to have a bunch of these modules, you know, set up and submitted for this process.
We had an example of one module we're talking about.
The first one was the initial build-out. The second one was the review and revision of the build-out. The third one was, so that was early in the process. And right now, all the Highlands has just about all that information, or they think they have the most up-to-date version of that information. I believe the borough participated in that slightly in the beginning. Module 3 was your affordable housing plan. They had put certain monies together because what happens was we had the third round rules were built. I don't want to bore everyone on this subject, but the third round rules had assigned growth share to every town in New Jersey. You had to make a plan for it to hit your residential and non-residential growth. The Highlands came along and said, well, chances are you're going to knock that growth down by a third or more. So they came up with their own numbers. So that module was to take your existing housing plan or to draft a housing plan. They also said if you're going to participate in the Highlands process, you have to have a housing fund. You can't just choose not to. So that money was dedicated to looking at your existing housing plan or to come up with a new housing plan based on the Highlands numbers. Some of the towns in this process decided that it made more sense to conform to the Highlands simply because their COA numbers dropped 70-80% versus what they would have had to come up with if they were going to go into the original growth share. Now, some of that incentive has kind of diminished because the COA system's kind of in flux right now. So it's not an on-the-ground kind of concern. Module 4 was to go through and do an environmental resource inventory. They gave you maps, they gave you charts and graphs. You went through it, updated it, made sure that they had all the historic sites, they had your habitat areas, they had the vernal ponds you knew about, and if you did or did not have ag areas, those types of things. That was, some towns hadn't looked at their environmental resource inventory for 20 years. So for them, it was very useful to have this document put together, and the Highlands said that was an important document you had to have for the process. The fifth module was the master plan element that addressed the Highlands. If you're going to do any ordinance changes, they have to be in line with your master plan. Knowing they had time constraints and they couldn't have every single town in the Highlands go through an entire master plan process, they wrote something that was called the Highlands Master Plan Element, which went through, pulled out all the master plan type information that was in the RMP, the regional master plan, and tried to adjust it back to each individual municipality to explain what these issues are and what the protection issues were, the development issues, all those types of things that were going to go into there. So that's what all these different, you know, number 7 was the ordinance. They came up with model ordinance language that was supposed to implement all this stuff. As we got halfway through that process, they found out that, you know, from after handing it out to 80 towns and having all the professionals look at it, we found a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and they've revised that a couple of times. So the one thing about that the borough has looking at the process is that they, the Highlands and the municipalities and the people who've been working with them, we've gone through a lot of these documents and already been able to streamline them and make the process a whole lot easier. So it's a lot easier to get through. So I don't think the borough would have to spend a year and go through a whole lot of grant money to get caught up in the process. The idea really is that, and what we did in Oxford was they had an initial assessment grant for $15,000 to figure out if it made, and a lot of the towns got these even before the module started. It was an early, here's 15 grand so you and your professionals can read the plan and figure out what the impacts are on your town as it compares to your master plan. They had only spent a couple $1,000s out of that. They said rather than have you reopen the plan conformance process, because they've already done some of that work, just use that money to come up with what your issues are. And that was how we were able to go through and...
Mm-hmm. All right. Hang on, Paul.
Sure.
Why did the Highlands have to inform the borough that we were initiating closeout procedures on the 29th? Why wouldn't your office know that already? Why are you speaking to this after the fact that we got a letter from the state?
Because the direction we have from the borough is that you're not participating.
Okay.
So we didn't track anything beyond that. You know, we have other towns to...
What would you think would make us change our mind now?
The letter came out, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, you guys knew that, you know, this money was available. I guess Susan's been working, you know, I've been coming to the zoning board meetings, Susan's been coming to planning board meetings. We knew that, for example, for the wastewater management plan, there was these issues with the riparian ordinance and the impact it's going to have on the redevelopment plan. We thought that was an issue. We knew you wanted to do some economic development. We knew there's some other kinds of things that we knew we've been reviewing the master plan documents, and some of them are kind of dated. So we just wanted to say there's a pot of money here. If you want, it's available to do a lot of this work. We'd be remiss if we didn't come up and at least tell you about it.
No risk to the borough whatsoever. None. Zero.
It's not a matching grant, and the Highlands does not force anybody to repay anything who's pulled out. If you sign up for the grant, you just have to produce the deliverables. You've got to do, if you say you're going to do these three modules, you're going to do this, you got to turn in the plan when it's done. You can't just spend the money and never turn in the product. You've got to make sure whatever the planning process was, whatever report you signed up to do, you got to finish that report and turn it in. Once it's turned in, you submit all the vouchers and you get paid.
And nobody approves that plan once it's turned in.
Nobody approves the
Who
plan?
Who approves the plan once it's turned in? Is the Highlands, the DCA? Who approves these plans? The municipality?
It's a collaborative process, a lot like the old state plan conformance plan endorsement process. What happens is, what's happened so far in the towns I've been working in, is that we went through the regular conformance process and met those deadlines that were set up originally. I'm sure now if you were going to go through, we'd sit down with Highlands and come up with some sort of accelerated schedule, some sort of revised scope. We have to make sure that the town signs off. So the planning board and the town council don't have a hearing and adopt, because we're going to be coming up with draft plan elements. We're going to be coming through, we're going to probably have a compressed process to just identify what has to be done. And what really winds up happening is that we're going to identify the issues that we have and let Niles know about it, and Niles is going to come back to us with some solutions. And we'll want to, okay, with what we think we need to do, what our issues are that come out of this process, we're going to come to an understanding. So you guys, I'm going to, if you guys decide to participate, at least two or three people in this room are going to wind up going down to Chester to have a conversation with them to figure out what we're going to do, what our next steps are going to be. We're going to come up with a timeline and a budget for that. Probably won't be the full 100. It's going to be probably a lot less than that because it's going to be a compressed timeline. And then we're going to come up with what we're going to get back to them. And then what happens is once we get to the end of, you know, the Highlands is working with us to figure out what solutions are, they come up with a draft consistency report. That's a report that the Highlands drafts to the council members themselves to say, we think the borough has identified their issues, we found some solutions, we think they're ready to conform, we think that they've made changes to their, you know, they have draft documents prepared that will line up the RMP.
That grant money there will get us to that point.
That's the idea.
After that point there, then there's more money to be spent to conform with whatever recommendations come out of CHESS.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
So therefore, that's why it's $50,000 on the first letter, and $100,000 on the.
Well, no, actually, the way it works is there was $50,000 was the every town was guaranteed at least $50,000, and then they said there's another $50,000 if you need it. Most towns wound up coming in between 70 and 80. Well, by the time all the work got done, a couple of towns I think went over, but most of them came in around that 70, 80 to get it all done. Some towns that were real simple probably did it in 50. So then you get to the point where we have this draft consistency report. The staff has gone through all our stuff, we've gone through all their stuff, and this draft consistency report is a memo to the Highlands Council that says the town's ready to conform. This is their petition, they think that they're going to conform, here's the issues. We think we should allow them to do X, Y, Z, because they promised to do A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
Once we send that out, once that letter comes out to the borough, they've got 45 days, and they give you, I think, $7,500 to review that document and make sure that we've got it right. That what we thought, what they heard what we said, and we heard what they said, and we're all in agreement, and then that goes before the council. That gets voted on by, you know, by the Highlands Council. When that process is over, they send back to you an implementation schedule, in addition, a new grant agreement that says, all right, you guys want to do these 3, 4, 5 things, we're going to give you this amount of money to do it. If you can get it all done in this amount of money, you've spent no money, you've conformed with the Highlands, and you're going to wind up at the end of the day with a master plan element, an ordinance, an economic development plan, some steep slope board. You know, you're going to have these things you've identified to get done, and here's the amount of money you can use to get that done. If you go over, that's, you know, they're not going to pay for more than that, but they're going to give you a timeline and grant monies to accomplish the stuff through the conformance process. And then I'm sure, Brent, we'll have to take a look at it in 5 years to see where we wound up.
Thank you, Mayor. Megan, do you have something?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Now, is this grant money you're talking about total $100,000?
The initial plan conformance process was the total $100,000.
Okay.
I don't know, now that if you were to come in at the end of this process and try and catch up, they probably try and compress that. They're going to probably hand us a lot of stuff that's already been kind of done. We just have to review. So we'd work that out with them to see what the real number was.
When you did our third round of COA, the initial agreement was for $25,000. Did we get that from the Highlands? And is that money now subtracted from the $100,000?
I do not know. I do not think so. I do not think, but I do not know.
I know that we took part of the grant because there was a cost overrun.
Correct. Initially, the $15,000 he referred to earlier, which was the seed money, if you will, that Highlands gave out, we took advantage of that.
Correct.
Iron Group produced the deliverables for that. What you're talking about for the third round of COA, that was paid out of the 2009 Kern Fund.
Okay.
That was paid out of that.
Okay. So that $15,000 that we took, is that reduced then from the $100,000?
No, that's a whole separate grant program.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here's a couple questions then. So if we voted 2 years ago, I believe it was 2 years ago, not going to the conformance,
mm-hmm.
The Highlands conformance. But you were mentioning something that if a developer wants to come in, he has to go through the Highlands, the DEP himself, and whoever else. Is that the process now?
Correct. So let me explain. What happens is, you guys, for towns that aren't conforming.
But we're in the planning area.
You're in the planning area. But what's happened is that the DEP has taken the entire Highlands and used that as their wastewater management plan. You know, all the counties now have to redo their wastewater management plans. The town through the county has to do that. DEP is looking at the Highlands.
Not through Warren County. Warren County doesn't really do this.
But there are most of the towns, okay, that's right, Warren County's doing them individually. So you're interacting directly with DEP on those. DEP is still using the water allocation models, modeling and the wastewater and everything else is all going through the Highlands. They're queuing to the Highlands.
But see, all right, if I can interrupt real quick.
Yeah.
Our wastewater management plan right now is down at DEP for, you know, review and approval.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect, how would this affect us with that?
There's wastewater.
Yeah, they're not going through, yeah, the wastewater.
There's wastewater, there's also water allocation. There's two ends, the water in and the water out. Highlands gets involved in both. DEP has, so far, been queuing to those issues. So I believe there is, you know, your southwest corner of the borough is in the protection area. Most of it's in the existing community zone or existing community protection zone, but there's still a portion that's not. If your sewer service, your wastewater management plan and your water allocation plans have the entire borough in, they're going to, DEP is going to come back and say, no, these properties in the southwest corner should not be in.
So how much of the protection area do we have to be in where we have to, because you mentioned that the preservation area is mandatory,
mm-hmm.
and the planning area is voluntary.
It's voluntary.
Now you're saying that some of the borough is in the protection area. How much of the protection area do we have to, how much of our total area has to be in the protection area before we have to conform?
None. Let me explain. There's the two, there's the preservation area and the planning area. That was, you know, in and out.
Okay.
Throughout the, in the RMP,
right,
they came up with these land use classification, LUCNs, the land use classifications, which became like the super zoning map.
Mm-hmm.
In the planning and the preservation area, they came up with existing community, environmentally constrained, protection areas, conservation areas, ag areas. So they kind of came up with a super zoning or, you know, layer for the, whether you were planning or preservation, and the DEP has been following the LUCM coverage in some of their modeling. So to get back to the original question, you didn't have to then, you don't have to now. What the take-home message is that you can get a lot of planning work done with this grant money. You can do some stuff that you might want to do.
That's another point I want to point out. We just paid an ungodly amount of money for a new development plan that we changed our ordinance. Did you look into that? Our redevelopment plan?
Yeah, this one here.
Okay.
That redevelopment plan.
Yeah, it was
$107,000.
It was quite a bit, and it took a long time to do. So, and that wasn't too long ago. 2 years ago?
No.
2 years ago? So, along with that redevelopment plan, the ordinances have already been changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on what you're giving us here, how often the master plan hasn't been updated since 2007? Is that what you're saying here?
You've had a series of reexamination reports. The underlying master plan itself has been updated in a very long time. I think it's, 1979, I think, was the last time you've had a comprehensive master plan done.
But wouldn't that have to have been changed with the redevelopment plan?
Not necessarily. You know, you just have to, the redevelopment plan becomes its own little mini ordinance, its own mini master plan for that redevelopment area. You wouldn't have had to update your master plan to do that. You'd have to just make sure that it's consistent with your master. You have a statement in your redevelopment plan on how it's consistent or inconsistent with your master plan. So, your 2006 reexamination report talked about downtown redevelopment as being something that should be looked at, something that you guys should decide to do.
Okay, well, yeah.
So that's how those kind of interact.
That's already been paid for. The ordinance that goes with that has been taken care of for that. 2 years ago, we voted against it. I don't see the need for it now, personally.
And that's why you guys vote, and I just stand here and try and give you some information about it.
I appreciate the information.
Sure. The only reason why is that I've had the chance to work for the last couple of years. We had a lot of towns who were very similar situations. We're not interested. Doesn't make sense to us. Then we went through the process and found out that, like, Byram's a great example of that. At the beginning of that process, they weren't interested. They weren't interested halfway through the process. Same thing with Oxford. They weren't interested. They had no. They went through the entire 5-7 modules, preservation area only. But then when it came up that they had these issues with the redevelopment plans, and there was problems with that, they couldn't get that through DEP and everything else, then they figured Highlands was a good partner to work with, and they were able to move that forward, have the Highlands spend some of the money to do more of the planning work to get them the center designation and those types of things. You guys used to be a center. That's expired. State Planning Commission has not been, you know, the state plan's been on hold. The State Planning Commission hasn't been a meeting. But if you want to get your center designation, the only real way to do it now in New Jersey is to go through the Highlands process and have them designate you as a center. There could be benefits to TDR. There could be, you know, other benefits with this center designation for transfer development, other kinds of things.
Can you explain what the TDR is to everybody, please?
Transfer development rights. So you can, you know, I believe there's been some work here on that already done as well. So, you know, some of this money could be used to implement some of that stuff. So, I mean, again, I haven't studied every document you have. I've gone through your re-exam. I've gone through your redevelopment plans. I've been working with your zoning board, some stuff. So I'm not here to really go through and tell you exactly what we're going to do each step of the way, but a lot of these things would qualify under these programs to go ahead and try and get some of this.
Scott, were there discussions with the planning board on their take? Do they know about this?
I don't believe they do. The last planning board meeting was canceled.
Okay.
And I don't remember any recent discussions on this.
I just want to get clarification on the whole thing. Now, first of all, are we or are we not fully located in the planning area?
You are.
We are?
Yes.
Okay. And if you're in the planning area, you do not have to confirm.
You do not have to conform.
Okay. What then, are you trying to say we don't have to conform to the Highland plan, but we do have to conform to the master plan, and by participating now through this Highland grant money, you would be working on the plans for the regional master plan?
No.
Or are you only working on a Highland plan?
The plan conformance process is to line up all the borough's planning documents and ordinances with the Highlands regional master plan. Well, what I said earlier was that your master plan has been out of date. There are some other planning documents. You may want to do some economic development planning, neighborhood revitalization planning. I understand that there's some issues with the wastewater management plan in terms of the C1 stream corridors and other kinds of things where you have to do these ordinances that could affect significantly the downtown redevelopment plan. A lot of this work you're going to have to probably wind up dealing with Trenton on some of these things. What we're finding out that, you know, with some of the towns I've been working with, is that you can go through the process. Highlands can help you do some of the homework, do some of the analysis. Your engineer gets involved. It's not just planning. It's engineers, attorneys, the planning board. And all this money goes towards those professionals to do all the work on all the different issues. And then you can help identify what you can do. And the Highlands can kind of help you if you conform. There's the legal shield, and they can be the interlocutor between the borough and the different agencies down in Trenton, whether it's DCA, DOT, DEP, everyone else. So that's kind of that process.
So if we have to do all this stuff and we do it on our own, that means we have to use our own money to pay for it, whereas if we go with this, we use the grant money and do not have to use our reserves to do it.
That's the idea. That's the big...
Right.
That's
so
the big.
So basically it saves us a lot of money.
It's the early...
But we don't
have
to do it. Right?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but we're going to have to do it at some point.
No,
not everything. You know, you don't have to do economic development plans. You may want to.
But didn't we talk off the subject? Weren't we talking about creating like a 5-year plan, like a council?
Yeah, but see, this right here is specific to the seven modules.
Right.
We can't take that $100,000 and use it for something else that we want to do. It has to do with the Highlands.
Well,
basically what the Highlands is requiring for us to be conformant to their plan.
Yeah, but what that does, though, once you, like, what's happened with the rest of the towns is the original $100,000, you have to get through the modules. But once you get through the modules, you come to the area where you have this draft consistency report with the mapping that makes sense and what the issues are. And then once you get through that process, that's what opens up the whole second round of grants to do the work you really want to do. To update your master plan, to do economic development, to do redevelopment stuff, to do other kinds of things.
But that's all planned.
It's ordinance work, it's engineering work, it's whatever you need to do to implement what you said you were going to do with the island. So a lot of it could be downtown economic development and redevelopment stuff that you've started, you have to update water allocation stuff. It could be engineering work to do water allocation models and wastewater allocation law. So that could be, that's all part of the implementation stuff that comes after the initial performance as well.
Well, yeah, that's a question I have. I have a couple questions. First is, I guess, in dealing with the Department of Environmental Protection, would this help us or hinder us in a way with that? Is it like another whole step in the process, it seems to be, or is it, you know, going to be money available to us that we can, say, spend on an engineering project, you know, a while down the way, just to conform with this, or, I mean, you know, I'm not clear on.
What it winds up doing is it brings the Highlands to the table. So if you've worked with the Highlands and you've gone through your issues and you've developed the Highlands plan and you've figured out how, through your mapping and your ordinances, you're complying with the Highlands plan, the Highlands has said can go down to Trenton and tell all the other agencies, we've already dealt with this issue, it's going to conform as the RMP controls in this area, our water allocations control, our wastewater allocations control, our center designations control, our growth areas and non-growth areas under statewide TDR control. So what it winds up doing is, instead of having, if you remember the old, you know, plan endorsement process, to go in with the Office of Smart Growth and everything else, the town had to pay for all that. The town had to do all the studies and deal with DOT and deal with DEP and do everyone else on their own dime. The Highlands, you know, love it or hate it, at least has put the grant money together to say, we'll pay for the planning work, we'll pay for the engineering work in terms of the analytics. They're not going to pay for probably a bridge reconstruction plan or those kind of things in terms of engineering. But when it comes to water allocation and wastewater allocation, that kind of work, that's what the engineering work that can get done for those kind of things.
By the time you get to that point, though, all the money has been spent on the plan.
Right.
That money will be gone.
If you're not done, then you have to
get
your money yourself.
Right.
Or if you don't conform or however it may be.
No, I think it's just, you know, you get the initial money up front is to do
the plan.
To identify the issues to see if you want to conform or not. You're right. If you get through the first modules and you submit those and the borough and the Highlands are still not seeing eye to eye on things, you've just done the module stuff, the prelim stuff, and you don't go and get the other implementation grants. You have to conform to get all the implementation grants. But what we're finding out is that, you know, it's in the Highlands' interest as much as anyone else's interest to deal with the issues, to address the issues, to find ways to make it work. They're really, you know, they've been trying really hard, and they've been, you know, you see the press releases, another three towns, another four towns. They're working with the towns to really try and find a way to address any issues they have, and then it brings other, you know, the fact that you guys are already, the interesting thing about the borough is that you were a center. You developed as a center. It's a growth area. It's all the things the Highlands totes that they want to have. The type of development the Highlands wants us to support. So I don't see, in some sense, that you guys would be that far apart on many issues. In terms of, you've already been seen as being, you're already in the planning area, you've already been designated as a lot of as being existing community already. Most of the map here in town is yellow, showing that it's already been developed, it can develop and redevelop. The only thing the Highlands can do is kind of help you deal with some of the rocks being threatened. It can give you a legal shield if someone challenges any of your ordinances. It's another thing, you know, the old, you know...
That's not a guarantee.
They've said any town that conforms, they will, if your ordinances are lined up, you have any ordinance to conform with the Highlands, they'll be your legal shield. They'll
pay. Okay, they'll be our legal shield, but, you know, 10 years ago, we built a sewer plant, and that sewer plant was designed in mind to expand. But you're right, they changed the classification of the stream that we dumped into to a C1. Now, is the Highlands going to go tell DEP that they're going to change the classification of that stream?
I don't think they go that far. I don't think they're going to be able to change the C1 designation.
I mean, there's certainly advantages to it. I think in the long run, the long planning, you know, you just expose yourself to more regulation. Highlands is, I can understand the arguments, but it doesn't bring businesses to your planning area. You know, it doesn't create businesses. It doesn't create anything other than maybe more restrictions.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway,
can I ask before you step away, John and Mr. Mayor, you guys are on the planning board. Mm-hmm. When you have site plans that come to you, do you refer them to the Highlands and DEP?
Not as a matter of course. If there's something that is DEP related, we would.
Okay, so when somebody comes in with a final site plan, you approve it or disapprove it?
Correct.
And the shovel goes in the ground?
Yes.
But if we were to go into the conformance portion of this, anytime somebody approached the planning board with a preliminary plans or a final plan, they would have to go through the Highlands and DEP before the town could give them approval?
No, to answer that question a little further, they go get the planning board approval, but they have to go and get all their outside agency approvals as well. They still got to go to the county, the DEP, they got to go to the Soil Conservation Service.
Right.
All of your approvals are conditioned on outside agency approvals.
Yes.
If they...
And the Highlands are part of that?
In the planning area, they're not now. But if they have to go to DEP and get wastewater allocations or other kinds of things, they need amendments to the wastewater management plan, other kinds of things, then Highlands does get involved.
Well, why would somebody that wants to come in here and redevelop or develop have to go to the DEP to get our sewer capacity?
It's only in areas where it's not currently sewered. If you're in downtown, it's already sewered and they just need a bigger allocation, chances are they wouldn't have to go to DEP for that. But if they're a major development, DEP may get involved in that. It's a case-by-case basis.
But that's all part of the wastewater management plan, though. Like I said, we had a redevelopment plan, and in that redevelopment plan, we allocated our wastewater, the gallons per day, to coincide with that redevelopment plan. That is also in the wastewater master plan, which is down there right now. So if DEP approves that, then they kind of wash their hands, saying you guys have the capacity and you go without.
Yeah, you're on. Utility authorities in charge of that.
Well, I guess the question is now, does council want to go forward and change our minds and deal with the Highlands, or do we want to stay as we have been and not deal with the Highlands?
Well, I got a question for Rich. What's the bottom line on spending in terms of to get this $50,000, which is the grant money, just to continue to conform, being that we already had started these? Is there any cost involved, materials and labor, involved in continuing this at all?
The work in the municipal budget?
Yeah. No. There's no cost to the borough to participate.
That's one question.
Okay. Hearing no motions, I guess we're going to stay as we are, Mr. Gleek. Thank you for coming.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate the effort.
That brings us down to the minutes of April 19th, 2011.
Move to approve.
Second.
Excuse me.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Correspondence.
The motion to receive and file.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on any of the correspondence that we have?
You want to do them individually?
Sure.
Okay. I would make a motion that we...
Well, before you do a motion, we would do discussion. We'll receive and file, and then we can make any motions after that.
I thought we received and filed, right?
Yeah, but we haven't voted on that yet.
Oh, we did.
Second.
Okay.
Town wide yard sales first, I guess?
Yeah, town wide yard
sales. Yeah. I'll make a motion to accept.
Well, we're not going to... Yeah. Before we go to motions, if there's discussion on anything...
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, then after we receive and file, then we can make the motions to approve the various things.
I have no problem with their dates. That
okay.
Requested.
Same traffic.
All right, hearing no other discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, you would like to...
Yes, I would like to make a motion to grant the Business Improvement District of the Borough of Washington September 10th, 2011 as their townwide yard sale with September 17th being the rainy day.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Now, do we do another motion to waive the fee, or that was part of it?
I believe that was part of the motion.
Yes.
Yes. If it wasn't, it was meant to be, right?
Yes.
Okay.
brings us, sorry, did you have something, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, I wanted to go down to the Recreation Committee volunteer days. There was a request made, I think that we should...
Email blast.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
What was it?
Do we have to vote on that?
What was the email?
Or can we just add?
They're requesting that we,
Yeah, let's make the motion and vote just...
Do an email blast about their event for volunteer days.
All right, just so everybody knows that the, there's gonna be some volunteer days at the park, May 19th and 20th, which is a Thursday and Friday, and Saturday the 21st to do some volunteer work at the Borough Park. The time is from 9 to 5 p.m., and they're asking to have this put on the Borough email blast every Friday as well as Wednesday prior to the event. I'll make that motion.
Second. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, anything else? At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Just come on up to the microphone, give your name and address for the record, and...
Edna Detlis, Fisher Avenue. I actually, all I want to know is, do we have to bring our own tools and stuff for volunteer day?
No, they have everything there.
Yeah, gloves too?
No, gloves.
Okay.
But like paint, they would have the paint there, you know.
No, I don't mean that. I mean like rakes and shovels and hose and stuff like that.
When I went last year, they had all the supplies, so okay.
Oh, I love my rake.
Anyone else? Mr. Delella.
Well, today is a joyous day.
And I appreciate you announcing that, Mr. McDonald. I'm glad you got it today. You received it this afternoon. And so did I, that we had the statewide approval for the forensic audit for Schneider and Company. And I just want to thank everybody for all the efforts in a year and a half of getting us to get to this point. I was in contact with Rich last week, about Wednesday, I guess it was. We called over to see where we were with this whole process. And Rich said he did have a conversation with Tom, I guess, on a whole other issue the morning before or so. And we still hadn't received anything, but it was on his desk. So we actually did make direct contact with Mr. Neff. And unfortunately, like you said, he's dealing with about 500 towns. He didn't remember the conversation, and he didn't remember the letter, which concerned us. Mm-hmm. So he promised that about 11 o'clock that night that he would go ahead and check. And he did, and then he followed through, and he said we would probably have some results by Monday or Tuesday, which I'm happy to say we have. And that's congratulations on everybody's part. Now, with that said, and the thank yous given, in the words of Mr. Valentine, what are we waiting for? I would like to ask one of the council members if they would propose that we go to a vote tonight and pass this once and for all and move forward on the forensic audit, which I believe is well within the policy and the rights of the council to do. Thank you.
Well, we're going to have an executive session this evening where we'll be discussing some of the contract details and, well, other things that I can't give you too much information on, but in regards to the forensic audit. And as I said, the process is going to be we're going to send the contract to the company. If they approve it, then we'll approve it, and it's, at that point we would probably know the starting date also.
So tonight would be an executive session on that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's part of what we'll be discussing.
Okay. And then after the executive session and the approval, I'm assuming on that, because everybody already expressed unofficially their opinion about voting for it, you will proceed with a letter to Schneider and Company?
We will send them the contract for them to approve, essentially.
Okay.
Make sure that everything that in there is what they have to say.
If I may, by law, you can't award a contract of this nature by voice vote. It needs to be done via resolution with the certification of funds.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest any formal action can take place would be the next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay.
And the certification of funds by the chief financial officer.
Right, which she's indicated that, but these were already put in the budget.
It should all be formality at this point.
Great. So then we're looking for a formal next session vote on this whole issue?
Again, that'll be dictated by council after they deliberate in executive session. I can't answer that question.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, since Mr. DeAlba was part of the interview process in this, would he be allowed to be in the executive session with this vote?
I mean, technically it's your choice. Mr. DeAlba is also a member of the Forensic Audit Committee as well. So
would you like to be part of it?
Sure.
Does anybody have any objections?
Same restrictions as everybody else, so I mean, it's...
Absolutely.
That's fine.
No objections to it? Then you would be welcome to stay afterwards. Again, you know the rules for executive session can't be discussed, et cetera. But
thank you.
Hopefully that would give you the information you'd like.
I look forward to getting this closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Mr. Thompson.
Yes, Rich Thompson, 241 Belvoir Avenue, Washington. On March 31st, there was a squad call at Memorial School. And the four people who responded that day, I'd like to see recommended for some type of heroism or recommendation, whatever, or recognized of saving a life that day.
Mr. Jewell, does the emergency squad have any type of recognition that they give out personally?
Yes, they do at their annual banquet.
Okay, would that be appropriate?
I just, thought, I would come here first.
Okay.
Because this was part of my
family. But I think something similar to what happened a couple of years ago with the hotel fire over here, I think that's kind of what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Maybe something in public view to recognize these people, I guess.
Okay, good. That was going to be the next one.
Yeah, I would think maybe something like that would be...
Yeah, I don't remember how that worked.
So are we looking at it?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry?
Proclamation?
Proclamation. Yeah.
What it's meant to say is the life they saved.
I mean, but is that according to the tradition of the emergency squad? Or
That you'd have to get in contact with the president. That's
okay.
I'm not going to speak for them, but I know they do have an award ceremony at their banquet, but I think
right.
Proclamation.
The thing is, I don't want to step on anybody's toes.
No, not at all. I would get in contact with them and ask. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, then we will work, we'll get in contact with the emergency squad and see
and
work something out in conjunction with them.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, should we make a motion on that, Mayor? Or you want to wait to get the housekeeping items taken care of?
If we're just going to do a proclamation, I don't think we need to do a motion on that. I'd be more than happy to do that. Provided that, we'll coordinate everything with the emergency squad. Is there anyone else? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have no ordinances, so that will take us to reports, which was the manager's report. Set the motion to receive and file.
So moved.
Second.
I have a question on the manager's weekly report is what we're referring to.
Certainly.
March 15th, the recap about the, for Judge Palmer, being able to pay through an affidavit. 411 still trying to speak. Are they not answering their phone?
The presiding judge has been unavailable. The presiding judge is the judge that oversees all the municipal courts in Warren County. He's been unavailable. I've been trying to get in touch with him because he's the one that had to come up with language in order for us to put it on our website, put it at the court offices, that type of thing.
Okay. But we're
playing
this going
forward. Oh, it's going forward, and the judge does it now. But in order to, for lack of a phrase, advertise it more, you need the presiding judge's language and his approval. Judge Palmer right now does that action. But we just want to get the word out.
Sure. Is there any soft cost that the borough would have to incur for this affidavit?
It's a court document. All we would do is, again, for lack of a phrase, advertise it. Put it on the website, put it in Borough Hall, put it at the court offices, let people know that this is an option if it's approved by the judge.
Okay.
Yeah. But the only cost would be creating the letter.
Creating the letter.
No cost.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Committee report. We have a subcommittee committee?
Yes, we do. First of all, the surveys, I need an update from Rich as to any other surveys that have come in, or?
I haven't received them.
Okay. So basically, we're in the same place that we've been before. We're hoping to get volunteers from the community to help us out in different ways, you know, with service to committee via any way possible. So, you know, I want to continue to keep the word out there. I guess Rich is going to be having it on our website. But through conversations, you know, and sort of a committee process that we had, we kind of narrowed it down for committees that we do need sort of right away. Of those, street and roads would be one that we'd recommend for, you know, moving on right away. Sewer committee and the policy committee, policy slash goals committee. Those are the main ones. Also, a website and technology committee. So, from our survey sheet, you can just go off that, and basically we have one, two, three, four committees that really we kind of have an urgent need for. So I'd recommend, you know, that we vote on that, you know, as soon as possible and get those committees set up. That would be the first side.
Okay.
All right. Moving from that, last meeting I had supplied the council with the worksheet. Okay. Isn't it the same here? Okay. Well, okay. We can give a recap then on that. Okay. Did anybody want to? Yeah. I have no other. Anything else then on that report, though? But we'll move on to the next item.
I'm thinking to add to that, maybe we can add a county road committee. We spoke with the freeholder about adding some county roads, maybe possibly.
Well, that would be part of the street committee.
That's part of the street committee?
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if it would be a separate committee or what?
No, that would probably be.
Yeah, I think that could fall under the streets committee.
Okay.
Purview.
Yeah. One thing I would like to, I don't know if it needs to be a motion or anything, but maybe when we do have these core committees established, maybe they could come up with their own kind of plan. Or some like objectives for 2011, and maybe at the end of the year, each committee would have like an accomplishment. And that would be maybe the first project that the streets committee.
Absolutely.
I mean, unless it's, you know, working on the Beethoven Avenue project, that needs to be started too. Mm-hmm. So they'd be overseeing, I'm assuming, that project. I don't think it needs to be a motion, it's just.
Just a recommendation or an idea.
Which members of council are going to be on which committees?
Be the chair and the
police. Technically you use one, but I mean no more than three, and you know the three can select a chair.
Mr. Mayor, should we vote on the accepting the those proposed committees to start with, and then go from there? Or?
I don't recommend one.
If you'd like to make that motion, that's fine.
If I could, before you do that, the senior services has to be included in that. Statutory.
Well, if it's statutory.
I thought that was already like established, though. Then we have already assigned. That one was already established.
If it's assigned out, then we got fine.
Just like the bid was already kind of assigned out, too. By the way, who was doing the bid? Was you? I know it's Councilman Valentine approached you. I was wondering how it.
Okay, so actually, there would be four. I'll make a motion to establish those four new committees I had mentioned.
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, let's start off with the Streets Committee. Who would like to volunteer for that?
Well, I'm on that.
Yeah, I have no problem being on that.
Okay, just in case you were wondering, Mr. Higgins was, I guess, volunteering you. County road map, buddy. I'm on it.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Mr. Royal volunteered for it, correct?
Yeah, a couple roads that I
agree with. Mr. Jewell volunteered for it. Does anyone else like to volunteer for it? Okay, how about if we leave it for those two for now?
Who else?
You two gentlemen at the moment.
Oh, Justin.
Okay. Sewer subcommittee. I would like to be on that one personally. Mr. Higgins? Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it certainly would be a continuity. Yeah.
Okay.
I know my.
He knows this is the work.
He's incredible.
So, Mr. Boyle, you're volunteering for that even after those comments.
Absolutely. Okay.
policy and goals.
I'll go on that one. I'll go on Levitt's. The last two.
I'll go on Levitt's as well.
Okay. John, did you volunteer for one of those? Or
the policy and
policy goals. So we'll have John, Rob, and Janine on policy and goals. And Rob and Janine, you volunteered for the website?
Yes.
Technology slash, I'd like to be on that one also.
Great.
Okay. That takes care of that.
The only thing I'd ask is after your respective groups meet or discuss, let me know who your chairs will be, and I'll update our records.
Sure. Okay, that brings us to Recreation Commission ordinance. We have some information here from the Recreation Committee itself.
So what are we looking at, a document we have submitted by the Recreation Committee? We're looking at adopting recommendations as guidelines for them to follow?
Things to incorporate into the ordinance, I would think.
Okay.
Mr. Chikorsky, would you like to speak to that, or Mr. Fitzgerald? Or Ms. Shaw? Sorry.
I'd be glad to speak to it. I need to understand how the discussion's been framed out, though.
Yeah, I did too, because as I understood it, and we had talked last meeting, I had prepared some documents for the council, and they incorporate, quite a number of the recommendations that are on the Recreation Committee's,
right.
As well. And this breaks it down per item, being that I parsed up our whole ordinance, the draft ordinance that we already had established was parsed up, and then each, items of substance was then, specifically, looked at and considered. And so that, I propose that we just vote on each one off the council worksheet, which, of course, any discussion, could include certainly the Recreation Committee recommendations, too. So, you want to have a discussion first?
Well, I was looking at it. We did have the draft ordinance.
Right.
So I was just looking for an open discussion amongst council and the recreation that is here to move forward to create the final ordinance, if we're going to go forward with it, that we would be voting on.
That sounds good. Just for clarification, the draft ordinance that I have is the original draft ordinance.
The draft ordinance that I have, the only one that I could find was the original drafted ordinance from a couple of months ago.
Yes.
That was discussed at a subcommittee meeting that consisted of Rob and Janine and myself, and I made it clear at the beginning of that meeting that I was speaking on my own behalf as a citizen, not on behalf of the Rec Committee, because we had not met to discuss it yet. So what came out of that meeting, I guess, are this worksheet, although this does not incorporate, and it actually conflicts with some of the discussion of that subcommittee meeting. So there apparently was further discussion or research done by Rob. I wasn't part of any further subcommittee or discussion with Rob about the ordinance. The Rec Committee, that discussion took place on April 1st. April Fool's Day, if you will. Council met on April 5th. The discussion got pushed. On April 6th, the Rec Committee met in a full meeting, and we kind of ran out of steam and time at the end of the meeting, so we regrouped on April 12th and had a full concentrated discussion about the ordinance. From that meeting, this document was produced, okay, the one that says that we met on April 5th. Sorry, that's the wrong date. This document says that we met on April 5th. We did not. We met on April 6th. I think April 5th was the council meeting. Lists who was present at the meeting, the nature of the discussion. So I would say that there are some things in this worksheet that I would like to enter into discussion about. The committee, the subcommittee, did not, for instance, come up with a citizenship requirement. And there are a couple of other things here. So however you would like to frame out the discussion in this capacity, I would be very clear about whether I am speaking on behalf of the Rec Committee in our discussion, characterizing our discussion, or if I step outside that and discuss this based on my experience in recreation, I'll make that quite clear. Is that acceptable?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Do I have to stand the whole time? Because you guys are all sitting.
If you'd like to grab a seat.
We're sitting here.
Microphone, that's okay.
No. Well, there's no microphone next to you, Rich.
Rich, you had some concerns over something that was in here, too, with the citizenship residency requirement or something, was it?
Sure. My only concern about that, and again, 99% of what's on here is a policy decision. My only concern is with the citizenship. I actually believe that that's a violation of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah,
you can't require that.
Legal resident.
Resident of the community, yes. U.S.
citizenship as far as United States citizen or borough citizenship?
Well, residency.
Residency, okay.
But citizenship requirement.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Residency is required by the statute.
Right.
If you require U.S. citizenship, that's a violation of the U.S. Constitution.
No, I'm sure that we meant the Washington Borough citizenship.
Well, that's okay. It's no different than residency.
Sure, it would be like residency.
So
strike that, I guess.
I have a question about something else, too. Again, I think this one recommends that you have a separate website.
How about if we just deal with let's work off of Mr. Torres's document now with Article 1.
Yeah, let's just go right through it.
Do we have anything
save time.
We want to concern ourselves
with?
Yeah,
we can address it in between each one, okay?
Yeah.
So the first item on this is lead question number one, which is the number of commissioners, 3, 5, 7, or 9. I do believe that there is some statutory requirement, has to be odd numbers, the minimum of 7, so that the first two would be out, but you can have 9 if you'd like. So anyway, so the first one would be to either keep 7 or expand to 9. So that would be something to discuss and then vote.
The Rec Committee recommended 7, I believe, with 2 alternates.
Right. It's a comfortable number. Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's kind of like that idea. Should we vote on that individually, Scott, or how do you want to do that?
No, I
got
just
a whole bunch of stuff.
You know, is everybody okay with that?
The getting it for the ordinance.
Then. Yeah.
Okay.
So what you're looking at is 7 with 2 alternates.
Yeah. Right. So which says vote, you're just writing yes on those, and then continue if there's objections, and he'll write no. Okay, I'll leave question number 3 is contingencies. A residency requirement, we're going to eliminate number B, and then background check requirements. So let's do them individually. The committee is recommending yes on residency. Any discussion on that further?
And you're comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And background check?
Yeah, the background check can get expensive. I'm not saying that we can't do it. I just want to make everybody aware that who are you going to background check?
Just to address a point that Beth had mentioned earlier, at that subcommittee meeting, I did. Not only was the three of us there, though I did have contact with other council members, plus other people who were involved in, you know, forming this document. So this wasn't based only on the subcommittee, just so you know. So this came to my attention from, you know, another council person, actually. So.
Yeah. And if we do background check, can we do that just recreation? Do we have to do that everybody?
I don't think.
We don't support background check.
I don't think an appointed commissioner.
That's where I was going.
Should have that.
You can't require a background check on a governing body's appointee. Should this body at some point in the future require background checks on recreation-related parents, coaches? That's a different issue. But for purposes of
that's
appointing,
not true.
That's not true at all.
If we put in the ordinance, then it certainly would be established that there would be a background check.
Yeah. So this is speaking for commissioners.
Right.
Yeah,
on this page, it's for commissioner.
Oh.
It's down further would be director.
Yeah.
Right.
And who pays?
I was
so okay. Solely for commissioners.
So anyway, is there more discussion or we're pretty much?
What was the Recreation Committee recommendation on that?
They would say
we
no.
We did not discuss that because that's fine.
Okay. And certainly I'm opening the discussion up to Penny and Rick, anyone else in the audience that has, you know, input, you know, on recreation certainly should contribute.
Do you see it as part of the document? No, I just recall the conversation that we had, that everyone at the table said, no.
So no background check for the committee members, commission members?
Right.
Yeah, I had about it.
Yeah, we would.
All right, so then, right now, it looks like that would be a no, and just from consensus, you know, vote here. Okay, the next thing is, committee recommends no other contingencies at this time.
So bring us to the appointments by mayor and approved by council.
Right.
Which is what it currently is and always has been.
Right.
I don't think anybody has any...
No changes on that?
Do they? No.
No.
Okay.
Terms, initial terms, 5 years. The committee recommends 2 years based on the reasoning and consistency keeps it intact with the 2 years. While it does allow for changing members often, which is more of a bigger priority for some of us, some new applicants only interested if commission form of government, and they would be interested, you know, to sign up right away.
I think that's a statutory requirement, that they're staggered.
That's correct.
Well...
That's not the question.
Right.
It's a problem.
Right.
It's the 2, 3, or 4.
That's the question. It's the number of years per term is the question.
From the number that you have to go, it's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, one being appointed from... You have it?
I can read it if you like. In the case of an increase of a board from 3 to 5 members, it goes for 4 or 5 years. In the case of a board from 5 to 7, 4 or 5 years. In the case of an increase from 7 to 9, one additional member shall be appointed for 4 years and one for 5 years. In this instance, the commissioners first appointed shall be appointed for terms 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years staggered, and then after that, it's every 5.
So for 7 people, the one still has to be 5 years?
That's correct. Initially, it's 7 members, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years staggered amongst the 7, and then it's every 5.
So it wouldn't be, there's no option for 4 years?
There's no option.
There's no option in any of them?
It's a 5-year term.
Not for 7 with 2 alternates.
And this is in the New Jersey statute, where did you get that from?
4012-1.
Not the New Jersey statute, okay. Okay, all right, so that takes care of that one.
Right.
Okay, and the next one. And then, so vacancies, filled by current term only or filled by four-fold new term length?
So you're talking about if somebody resigns from the committee?
Yes.
I would think that they would be appointed to fulfill the terms of that person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and if there are more than one vacancy, if there's more than one vacancy, the first appointee gets appointed to the longer term.
Okay.
Well, in that case, we don't need to have that in the ordinance.
You're filling the vacancy.
We're just, because we do it one at a time.
If there's 5 members and 2 leave, and you're appointed to member 1 that has 2 years left, you fill an unexpired for 2 years.
Right.
You're appointed to member 2 who has 4 years, you fill for 4 years. It depends on how you're...
In the order that they...
That's at the discretion of the governing body.
All right. And substance, don't they have to match? Don't they have to be the same?
They all have to be 5.
No, I mean, substance terms would also have to be 5.
Correct, yes.
Good.
Mr. Butler?
So what used to happen is the alternate, you can have the alternate, when you run into the alternate spot, then you refill the alternate.
That's correct.
So if the spot opened up in a 4-year term, alternate, the first alternate would move into that spot, and if there's a second spot open, then the second alternate would move into that spot and fill 2.
Yeah, provided they accept the appointment.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense. So why don't
we stick
with that idea, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we leave it like that? Okay. What's that? Okay.
Okay, so we have that one satisfied in that any vacancies would be filled by the alternates. Alternates would be who would be replaced.
Right.
At that point, provided the alternate accepts the appointment.
Okay.
Before we read vacancies, this language about commissioners have to serve until someone else is appointed and accepts the commissionership.
No, we could eliminate that. We could eliminate that. Right.
No. So it might be an emergency where they have to leave.
Well, yeah, right. Okay. For compensation for the commissioners, is that yes or no?
No.
No, right. Okay. These are pretty easy. Concurrent other government positions. Okay, this one, maybe there's some discussion on this. Allow holding more than one office simultaneously. Yes or no? Committee recommends no because like to add a language. Commissioners shall not hold any other.
I don't recall that because I would vote yes, but they should. Not, maybe not locally, but there's no reason why a person couldn't be on a federal thing or a state thing.
Well, remember we had this discussion. You were against it.
Yeah, consider this.
Okay.
Well, are you talking about a paid position or Like two volunteers, do you want a commissioner who also serves on the planning board?
No, I, see, that's a question, I don't know, but I think it should be addressed.
What was the rec committee's recommendation on that?
We were,
Says no.
No, they didn't discuss it.
No, not all of us, it was that.
No, that's different, the recreation has a different meaning.
The language more than anything else, so consider this, consider somebody as a municipal clerk or, I don't know.
Planning board, good example.
Okay, a paid position in a government.
And they want to be on the rec commission here, what would be the conflict, right? So I think. So, Beth, not, this is not part of the rec, you know, of.
Well, I, you know, the planning board may be a little bit of a conflict possibility. You know, depends on, you know, or possibly.
Well, should a conflict arise, they're just, they make an excuse.
Well, then they could recruit, so that, okay, so that'd be fun.
But it gets scrubbed at the point of appointment, at the time of appointment, right? Gets scrubbed there.
It could.
By, you know, by the council, by the mayor, and then it's just conflict, you recuse yourself in the vote, just as you do.
Right, and just so you know, a lot of this language came from those other ordinances that, you know, we did study, so we don't need to do this.
You should check with your attorney, there may be a state statute that deals with this kind of issue concerning commissioners, the commission volunteers versus municipal, federal, state volunteers or paid employees.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I, you know, the Hatch Act, the Hatch Act, the Act for paid, you know, it's for paid.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, all right, so that one basically, we're gonna say no, okay. Disqualifications upon criminal conviction, yes or no? Either yes, any discussion on that, or?
Mr. Feldman?
Is that not in the borough policy manual?
What?
Dismissal based on a conviction.
Or disqualification of criminal conviction.
If you work in the borough, either a paid or a volunteer position, and then part of the.
Not that I recall, but there's no background check, so how would you know?
Well, I think that's if somebody does criminal during his employ.
Yeah, kind of.
Or volunteerism.
I'm not aware of in the policy manual, there are certain statutes within civil service that govern that, but these are for volunteer appointees. Not necessarily, because the Civil Service Commission governs paid personnel, not volunteers.
Yes, it's volunteers, so it's different.
There's a difference, yeah. The volunteers are appointed by the governing body and serve that term. They don't report under the policy manual.
So I guess if we're not gonna have background checks, you know, if that's the agreed thing, then it's kind of, you know, we would have to, you know, have actual information in order for, you know, the council to take action upon a criminal conviction anyway. So this one, we might as well strike this whole thing out.
Okay. Upon election to another government office.
And this is.
Same thing, same thing you're talking about with the board, you know?
Right.
You can excuse yourself.
Okay. And then disqualification for cause is determined by council. And that I think we should leave in case there's, right, some certain, you know, circumstances that, you know, we would have to act on, this will, you know, give us, just have a language in the ordinance would allow us to be able to do that.
Yeah, the rec committee.
So leave C and eliminate the disqualification, A and Bs would be the, you know, the changes, or?
You would need to determine the definition of cause, because right now the statute.
No.
Right now the statute, when you appoint someone for a term of 5 years, believe it or not, unless they step down, you can't remove them.
That's, no, because actually if it's in an ordinance, unless these other towns' ordinances that we did research on.
Like I said, in the statute, right now it says that, if you're gonna include that in your ordinance, you need to define it a little bit more as far as determined by council.
Rich, I got the language off these other ordinances that other towns did.
I understand.
They didn't put anything a little more specific than that.
They will be removed for a crime of moral turpitude.
You need something more than as determined.
No, well.
They can be removed.
Janine had a good idea, why don't we just wait on that particular item and ask the attorney?
It's in the ordinance that created the fire department.
Okay. At least it'd be some consistency in the language.
All right, so what's that say?
Removed for violations of moral turpitude.
For a crime convicted of moral turpitude.
Well, not convicted.
No, for a crime of moral turpitude.
Oh, yeah, right.
perpetuity.
Yeah, but...
I think all of this, too, is going to have to be run by the attorney for his opinions, too.
Okay.
Can we leave that in there, the suggestion from the committee about minimum number of meetings?
Yes, I think that should be in there.
That's for...
We didn't get to that.
That's more...
It's coming up.
A minimum.
Don't worry, we got more to go.
It should be for pause.
Meetings are coming up, so that... Okay, now we got meetings coming up. Okay. Commission officers, the chairperson, election from within the commission or appointment by the mayor and approved by council. So...
I think it should be elected from within the commission, statutory.
All right, everybody's in agreement with that, so that was easy.
I think that's statutory, too.
Yeah.
Okay, chairperson powers enumerated, run meetings, formulate agendas, report to council. Should we put actually the language in the ordinance to say what the chairperson does? And specifically to run a meeting, formulate agendas, report to council, and anything else?
Yeah, and any other duties as may be agreed upon by commission.
That's in the draft now, correct.
Okay, so leave that the same. Frequency, oh, sorry. Okay.
So what the recreation committee suggested is that that all four officers be listed in the ordinance, that a quorum be detailed in the ordinance. Okay? Except for a section, yeah, appointment, organization of this committee.
Well, that kind of ties the commission's hands in the future. If it's in the ordinance, it's in the ordinance, and it's done. But, you know, it kind of ties your hands, supposing that you get a different shift of people next, you know, term around, and then you decide, or the situation in the town changes, and you decide that you don't need a secretary, or you might not have a secretary, and now you might need a second secretary or something else. You can't, because you're precluded by the ordinance. So if you put specific examples, you're going to maybe, you know, hamper yourself that way.
In the old order, the one that was done away with, it talked about officers. It said the Board of Recreation Commissioner shall have the power to appoint from among its members a chairperson who shall be a presiding officer and such additional officers as the board may desire.
Exactly,
that's
and that's up to them.
Now.
So that's okay. Right. So that's
that
would be
that
done.
Way.
Right. Okay. So
if
everybody
the commission
kind of
wants to specify further, they could do it in bylaws or something along those lines.
Theoretically, you could have three vice chairs if you chose. If you limit it in here, you're actually going to tie your hands. If you say
yeah.
One
okay.
Of this, one of that.
Exactly. And Beth, also with the quorum question as well, to put that in there too, you may not want to do that either in the ordinance because, yeah, you'll put that in the bylaws. Any of these type of things you can put right in the bylaws, so which you're working on now, which is good. Okay.
But to conduct a meeting, statutorily have a
quorum.
That's in the statute.
They're now
plus one.
They're subject to the open public. The Open Public Meeting Act and all the requirements thereof.
So, yeah, okay. The frequency, I don't know if this is in the statute, Rich, maybe you can help me with this, but we put it in there because we weren't sure. But the frequency in mandatory monthly or bi-monthly or semi-monthly meetings. So, I mean, of course, recommending monthly at least. So that maybe there should be language like that?
Yeah, a minimum of monthly,
right.
More may be called as necessary by the committee, because
okay.
Obviously in the spring, summer, they would probably
any other discussion
more than
on
they
that?
Wanted in
at all or
December.
No? Okay, so that would be good. All right, next item would...
You're okay?
You have a question?
Yeah, I got it.
A minimum,
I'm
at least
over
one.
We're all done.
Okay.
Sorry, I got
yeah.
It wrong.
Okay, website shall be required to maintain a separate website from the borough, yes or no?
No.
That's
no.
Up to us. No.
Yeah, I don't think
they
should be required.
They have a link. They're part of the website. They're a link off of our website. And they do the information.
They're a page on our website.
Right, a page
yeah.
On our website.
If they want to have their website,
they
can. All right, but you know what?
Right?
Think in the future, okay,
they
especially
do.
Considering the nature of our particular borough with the number of activities and looking at a lot of these other websites where I got a lot of this information from, you can have pages and pages. Some of these Recreation Commission-only pages, I mean websites, are actually like four or five pages. One page dedicated just to the pool activities with swimming lessons and, you know, another just to baseball. And so, in other words, if we, you know, of course, certainly a good idea to have at least a page on our website devoted to recreation, but to have 5 or 6 pages would be better, and of course it would be up to you guys on your committee, on the recreation committee, to come up with your own creative, you know, kind of website, which would, in other words, if you do it just through the borough's website, you're going to be kind of held back. And I see that bigger things on the horizon,
well, what
but...
What I see to that, Rob, is the borough going to pay for this website? Or are we going to have the Recreation Commission itself pay for the website?
The commission would pay for the website.
Okay, now, wouldn't you think that we're putting an unfunded mandate on them?
No. No. Not at all.
No, I would.
You would.
Personally.
Well, I mean, that's part of... Well, I mean,
I think it should be that if they wish to have a website and they wish to pay for it, that's completely up to them.
Okay, then that would be the recommendation.
We're getting a lot of positive feedback about the borough website, you know, just the easy navigation. The recreation website actually has, I don't know, 16 pages to it. I mean, it's very easy to link from sport and get your, you know, sign up form.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's convenient. Now.
We okay. can accommodate them currently on our website, no
yeah.
problem, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing precluding them
yeah.
from setting up a website should they decide right. to at any time in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually the language will not even include the website in there, or
no.
should we mention it in the ordinance? No. Okay.
Don't even mention it. Let them deal with that.
Okay, so moving on then, the next item would be employees, the director. Okay. So the question is, first, should it be hired by the manager, hired by the manager and approved by the council, or could it be just picked by the commission and then hired by the manager? I mean, you know, there's different options, so maybe we should open this one for discussion some more.
I think anybody? Statutorily, if it's a commission, the
yeah.
commissioners do the hiring.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Well, then there's other examples that are against state law then, because, I could show you examples that are different with that. But yeah.
If I may, it's an option.
It is an option.
It's not required. It's an option. The governing body can have that power lie in my office. It can have the power lie in the Recreation Commission. That's a policy decision when you create the ordinance.
Yeah.
What was the recommendation of the Ordinance Commission?
They wanted to hire by the manager.
It's in this document. It's a viable candidate for Recreation Commission
right.
to be determined by the borough manager and the
right.
Recreation Commission. So the thought here is that the candidates are vetted or, you know, scrubbed,
mm-hmm.
whatever, first reviewed by the borough manager. The viable candidates would then, this can't be part of the whole resolution, I have an ordinance obviously, but we're kind of thinking through how it would work. The interviewing process would include the commissioners and would, you know, provide for written feedback to the borough manager with
mm-hmm.
the interviews, but, you know, things are moving along pretty quickly.
As in one feedback, not everybody's...
Collective feedback, right. The recreation secretary and seasonal employees within the recreation department would be hired by the recreation director. Input from the commission is not necessary for that.
Okay.
So
and the final decision on the director would lie with the manager? Suppose his opinion or her opinion is different from the commission's opinion. Okay.
The final decision rests with the hiring manager.
Okay.
Now, Dave, you had some other...
I had some questions
yeah.
about that. Now, if you hire the director, are you then taking over the entire scope of hiring for the seasonal employees?
Right
yeah.
now, the director does that.
The director right now is, but he is an employee of the borough, not...
Well, even if it were the commission, he'd still be an employee of the borough, or she would be, whomever
right.
would be an employee of the borough.
I mean, we can make it in the ordinance
sure
if you'd like.
Sure
we can have it
question.
Approved by the manager and then approved by council. I mean, hired by the manager and then approved by council if you'd like. We could do that, too.
That you can't do.
Why not?
No, that's personnel that we can't deal with.
Either it gets hired
yeah,
by
right.
the Recreation Commission
right.
or it gets hired by the manager.
Okay, yeah, because
you
it's
can't
an
have that intermingling of right. council.
That's how it's done by
so
the commissioner now, right?
Who's going to be responsible for this individual, i.e., who does the director report to? Does it report to the commission, or does it report to the manager?
Right.
If the manager hired him, he'd report to you.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Well, then you're setting the person up for a very difficult position, putting them in between the manager and a commission.
I mean, it's no different than when the planning board or board of adjustment secretaries or higher. Personnel issues, I oversee them, but they report to their respective chairs for guidance.
Well, that's a little, that's a different, way different type of position.
Agreed, but it's the same statutory position for board and commissions versus permanent full-time employees. I mean, right now, the board of adjustment planning board secretaries report to their chairs. Anything administrative and personnel comes to me.
I mean, the committee, when I was liaison, the committee with the director was torn between the two. I thought that was an unfair place to put somebody. You know, I was always very strongly on the opinion that the commissioners would be working with their director whom they felt could provide the job properly without having, you know, I have to talk to the manager, you know, get that little delay thing in there or that.
What makes it very difficult in this community is the form of government and the fact that we're civil service. It makes it very, very difficult. The state picks one employee, typically the manager or administrator, to be the chief personnel officer.
But the manager's office needs to be receptive to the commissioner's information being forwarded. If there's concerns and issues or not getting done.
The commissioners are a semi-autonomous body, like a board of adjustment planning board. They do their own thing. So you can't, I hate to use the phrase, but you can't have to take any of the two in this instance. You have to pick one path and choose it. When you start intermingling it like this, it's destined to fail.
Since they're a semi-autonomous organization, I would say let them pick who they want.
Again, that's a council decision.
All right, if it goes that way...
Well, hold on just a second here. Mr. Fitzgerald, you've done this type of job before. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make on this?
I can put it in three words. Chain of command.
Okay.
That's what really had to happen.
Define it and leave it.
On a day-to-day basis, I should be able to make the decision, first of all, on staffing, but also on those things that decided at this level or need to go to the manager. Certainly they have input from the commission, and that's what the commission decided at the last meeting, but to create that direction.
Okay, so then so then that should make it pretty clear, so maybe so we should go with it that way then.
Dave, what do you think?
No, I still think they're a semi-autonomous organization. I mean, like, if right now, the library, use the library for example.
That's a bad example. Use the planning board or board of adjustment.
Okay.
Library's a little different.
All right. Well, it'd be, yeah, well, we signed that agreement. But here's the thing. They do the recreation. No doubt the director, the rec director, is going to have to follow the policies and procedures of what the borough has established as far as, you know, the finance and all that other stuff.
Right.
I think that the discussion goes between the rec commissioners who have been appointed and the director, and pretty much that relieves the manager of any of involvement with the day-to-day operations of the rec department. That falls on this guy right here.
The manager would be there for advice and consent should the director or commission have a question.
But just focus on that hired by the manager or...
I would say by the rec commission.
Yeah, right.
All right, but we're talking about the rec commissioner or the director. I mean, you know, should...
The rec director, in my opinion, should be hired by the rec commission.
And not by the manager at all.
Correct.
I support that.
And what would be the advantage of that, Dave, just to get what's the advantage of that?
The advantage is that anything other than financial questions or financial policy, the manager doesn't have to waste his time with what's going on at the pool.
Right.
Like
right.
Last year, you spent a lot of time at what was going on down there because...
Right, and regular employee things, he can handle that as well. But other than that, right, no. Okay, I see what you're saying. That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Mr. Feldman?
If the overriding issue here is that we're developing commissions so these individuals be responsible for recreation, then give them a responsibility, and one of those responsibilities is managing or hiring and managing their employees. And this is their employee. Historically, under this setup here in this community, the borough manager or the borough regulations, policies, procedures, or whatever always superseded anything that we did, or we had to follow them. This individual or member knows that. But if the person is going to work for recreation, then let them work for recreation.
All right, the only question I see as a question, if that's the case...
Who pays the salary?
Hold on, no, that's not the question I had. The question that I had was, if that's the case and the commission hires their own director, then what's to preclude them from hiring from amongst themselves? Unless we specify that. Well, we would have to specify that.
As a commissioner, they can't.
Well, okay.
So...
Then I'd be in agreement with let the commissioners do it rather than manage it.
So their trust would pay the salary, there would be no personnel. I guess I'm looking at personnel. There wouldn't be any personnel issues.
They would, listen, the town would go through and pay their bills.
Yeah.
Everything would funnel through the finance office down here.
Mm-hmm.
When they get a bill, they submit a bill, then that's how it goes now.
Yeah.
They have to get an approval from a purchase order from the manager,
right.
Correct? That's
correct.
The purchasing policy.
Yep.
They go out and get what they want, they submit it, it goes through there, it gets paid through the finance office.
Through their trust?
It gets paid from the general fund, reimbursed.
No.
Okay, well then it gets paid from
their trust.
From
their
accounts, right.
Right. But it's just our borough with our manager acts as the accounting kind of whatever, because of the purchasing rules that they have to follow. Okay.
So what are we looking at here now? We're looking at commissioners hiring the rec director?
Looks like that.
Yeah.
And supervising the rec director. The manager would have no involvement whatsoever with that outside of signing purchase orders or...
And making sure that the borough's policies and procedures are being followed.
Okay. And the commission itself would be following any disciplinary actions.
Correct.
For the director, should there be any need for it.
Correct.
Yeah, the other thing that would be benefits, employee type stuff that the manager would handle, obviously, as an employee.
Really?
Right?
Where's the line?
What are you talking about, benefits?
Well, that's right. It would be a part-time person anyway. So
right.
Be no
benefits. Well, you would have
no.
To say.
Well, that's right. We didn't come to that yet.
So one of the things we've never had before was the rest of the plant, right? So the recommendation of the current recreation committee is that, as you know, the hiring is done and reporting hierarchy being through the borough manager with an annual evaluation of the recreation director that includes any objectives. An assessment.
Who does? But who would do the
manager?
The manager would do the evaluation.
To evaluate, well, ultimately yes. In this
the
model,
final evaluation.
That would be responsible for the ultimate evaluation. Part of that would be an evaluation by the Recreation Commission.
See, and that's where if
so
the Recreation Commission is going to evaluate them,
mm-hmm.
that and they have more contact, the day-to-day contact.
Yeah, let them do it.
Yeah, so
right, I would.
Oh yes, if the manager's not hiring them,
right.
then that would change your reporting hierarchy here.
The manager would
not have anything to do with the evaluation.
Right.
I'm saying if we follow the Recreation Committee's recommendation, which is that the Recreation Director, the personnel who work for the borough, report into the manager.
I don't think that.
The road department reports
I don't think that the majority. Of the
not if you're not if you're going to have the.
I'm talking about the model that is articulated
right.
in the Recreation Committee recommendation.
Right.
Okay. So just isolate all the other, you know, the recreation and the seasonal DPW employees. So what do we do with those? I mean, we have a number of seasonal DPW employees that take care of the recreational real estate. Right.
So then you might as well have the manager hire. That's conflicting with what was just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what you're promoting is a conflict. So if you've got a recreation director reporting to the commission,
right.
Let's say a secretary reporting to the commission, and then we have,
yeah.
In the summer we have DPW seasonal employees reporting to the DPW,
that DPW seasonal employee then should go to the rec commission because, in my opinion, it's all in my opinion, is that DPW employee that's working at the park his pay is being hidden in another department.
No, I think a better way to set it up might be if you have that situation and the commissioners are doing everything, all the hiring and everything else, except for those borough employees that might be loaned out over there, instead of loaning them out, actually I'm sure our manager could set up a system where there's a purchase order for the use of the labor and then charge the commission out of their funds for those temporary use of those public works guys.
Financially, if, and this is fine, if the commission wants authority over this and they want to pay for everything, that's fine. That's when we have to go into Councilman Higgins' concept of front and then reimburse. That's the only way to keep track of that. The problem becomes, and these are just a couple of things off the top of my head, if the commission hires someone and decides to make them full-time, legally, we now need to provide them benefits. Legally.
Well, come out of
their budget. I'm saying legally, they need to also be part of the pension system. These are all costs that they would have to be taken into account. And I'm not saying it can't be. My only immediate concern is right now the balance in trust may not support what this body is looking for. I'm just saying right now. I'm not saying it won't in the future. I'm saying right now.
All right, so my question would be then...
But right now it's part-time.
If we're looking at going to a commission and the commission, or the committee as it stands right now, doesn't want the responsibility or the burden of having to hire employees for the commission, why are we even talking about it? Because there's no change.
I agree. I mean, I think...
You mean
no,
a committee?
I don't even go to a commission. Make it a keep it a committee.
Mr. Feldman?
Does it make sense?
Well, that's a nice long
In the past, the commission did hire the director and at the end of the year processed an evaluation. We did a performance review on all of our directors. Number two, the idea that you're empowering the commission to take care of recreation and then obfuscating their responsibility to actually fire the people that are going to do it is silly, and Mr. Higgins is right. If you're going to do that, you just might as well leave it the way it is. The idea that there is no communication between the borough manager and recreation is absolutely absurd. Okay, we lived in this building for the better part of 5 years trying to find out or working with the management here concerning purchase orders and finances and some human resources or personnel issues. So to think that they operate in a vacuum is just insane. There's no reason why these people, these volunteers, can't do the responsibility or can't perform the responsibilities that go with being a recreation commission and taking care of recreation. And one of the things, the problem that I saw over the last 3 years was that the council really doesn't, for the most part, have an interest in what goes on in the day-to-day things that take place, and that's what the commission is there for, to take care of the day-to-day issues. And they need to have the responsibility and the authority to do that. And if you don't do it, then you're wasting your time. You might as well leave it the way it is.
Okay, and one of the reasons that we were moving to this is because actually there's a difference in the fundraising capabilities of a commission versus a committee of the borough, whereas borough we can't really raise additional funds except for, you know, how we're mandated to. And whereas, you know, if a commission has, excuse me, wait a minute, if a commission has their own events, okay, they can charge whatever fees they'd like, and they can raise this money that way for their trust.
Committee or commission, they're bound by the borough's fee schedule. Whatever that fee schedule is, that's all they can charge. The committee or commission can run events right now to bring in revenue, charitable events, fundraising events. They can do that right now. If I recall correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think one of the main issues here, way back when this conversation originally started, was right now the borough was funding the salary for two employees. You know, the right thing is if you want the commission to fund it via trust fund, then you don't have to raise that funds in the current fund to pay for that.
Okay.
And then the question becomes, if you want the commission to fund the salary for the employees, where do you want them to report? Who do you want them to?
Okay.
So it all goes full circle when it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, I mean, there's arguments. There's good good arguments either way. But whatever the council decides.
So the current committee, though, is actually recommending something different, that the manager...
What?
The current committee, rec committee, that is actually recommending something different than what Councilman Higgins is saying.
Yes, we want the manager to do the hiring.
Yeah, but they
and then the manager would evaluate the director.
No,
your last thing, the reporting hire.
I think what's coming out, what Dave was saying was, and this is saying, is that the recreation director and the personnel who support recreation would report, would be hired by and report into the commission, right? Be evaluated by the commission, et cetera.
But that's not what it says here.
No.
No, that's what it reports.
The current committee had an opposing recommendation, which is that all personnel would be hired by, evaluated by, worked for, under, be subordinate to the borough manager as the rest of personnel are in the borough. So there's arguments either way, but whatever the council decides, I would recommend that we supplement the plan of action in the bylaws.
Ms. Shaw.
Just as a point of clarification, the overall discussion had pros and cons. The weight was more towards the plan that Beth has handed out. There was no lesson to disagree, just as a point of fact. We didn't unanimously agree with the structure where the director reports to the manager. Some of us agree with the commissioners being responsible, having the director report to them instead of to the manager, just to be honest, but it wasn't 100%.
Okay. If there's no other comments on this particular issue, I'd like to have just a voice vote on the council on this particular one. So, because this is one we have opposition for, so let's just take care of that and then.
If you're going to make a motion, we say that's going to be a vote for affirmative or denial.
Right.
It's not a straw poll.
A straw poll.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
We'll
wait for the mayor for it.
Yeah,
because he votes too, right?
Sure. Yeah. He does vote. I'm just
our first day.
All right, well, let's talk about something else in the meantime while the mayor's gone.
So we're
going to
put this on hold until the mayor comes back?
That particular
item. Mayor's back.
Okay. Well, that's
what
good.
Is it that,
just in time.
There was a straw poll recommendation about the line item of hiring the rec director.
Okay.
We've had the discussion, good debate, and we want to move forward. As a straw poll from Councilman Torres' suggestion. Not a motion or a second for affirmative or denial, for informational purposes.
Okay, for
it's
who's
like
hiring
all
them?
Or nothing. Yeah. Well, that and like the reporting hierarchy, that the recreation director would actually be supervised by the commission, and we would work, and all the employees.
Okay, so we're allowed to define the chain of command.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's either commissioners or manager. That's basically the question. So. Let's go to the straw poll based on the commissioners.
Just on the hiring right now.
On the hiring.
Right.
Okay, before we do this.
And the reporting.
And the reporting.
And the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Could we hear again from the director?
No, we've already gone past that. We're already trying to move this ahead.
Okay. No,
all right. What is it that you're looking for?
Okay, because, I'm really confused at this point. And I just thought that basically, if the rec committee sets these are the recommendations that the rec committee wants, first of all, I don't understand why there's such a big discussion on it. We want to know what their recommendations are. These are the people that actually work in the committee. So I'm just saying, it's like we should, just adopt their recommendations.
I understand what you're saying, John, but the point is. Well, I think we just had the straw poll answer from Mr. Valentine.
I'm just saying the point is that committee is that commission is going to change. This ordinance is going to be in effect long after that.
Right. So, Mr. Valentine, your opinion is that the manager should hire the recreation director.
The
rec commission gives a recommendation to him. Mm-hmm. Manager has the final decision.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Torres.
I would vote for the commissioners.
The commissioners have
to hire from within themselves.
Hiring authority.
Exactly.
Mrs. Lieber.
Oh, my goodness. Because there's so much more involved. I guess because I've looked in, it's a monetary thing. It's either all or nothing. Then
you
all
have to
the
vote.
The money then is part of the. So I'm going to go with the Councilman Valentine. the recreation committee's recommendation.
Councilman Higgins.
Commissioners.
The commissioner's recommendation, the commissioner?
No, the commissioner's hire.
Commissioner's hiring. Mr. Jewell.
What are the commissioners? Form for question.
They lighten up a little bit.
Okay.
Commissioners, yes. Commissioners do the hiring. Mr. Boyle.
Rec commissioners do the hiring.
Okay, and I would prefer to see it be done through the manager, but we have four commissioners doing it, correct? Okay, is there further roll call that we need on this or anything else?
No, we're just going to finish this out. We've got a couple more items, that's it.
I just asked one point of clarification. This is all personnel, correct? Just so I know how to phrase that in there. I just want to make sure, because when I'm all done, I want to recreate this document. I just want to make sure I have all my...
Another new draft order. Okay, part or full-time for the director, or should we even have it in the ordinance? Okay. What do we think? Everybody agree with that?
Yeah, that's decided.
Yeah, okay, good. Same with the secretary. Don't include any other positions in the ordinance and leave it open.
The secretary and all other personnel in recreation are typically hired by the director anyway.
For the commissioners.
So, okay.
I think the secretary needs to be hired by the commissioners.
Well, I think that's in the bylaws, probably.
It could be, sure. Okay. All right, so that takes care of that. Additional recommendations I have on the back page. I don't know if everybody took a look at this at all, but I put in there to add in a strategic 5-year plan that in the ordinance, just to, act as a reminder to them to try to think ahead. However, that could be a bylaw issue, too.
I think the bylaws could change,
Right, so we may not want to do that. That's up to everybody.
I personally think that the old ordinance that we had should be the model.
It is the model.
Yeah, that's what we present their budget.
Okay, and do you want to add any of these other language ideas that I had down here on this other page? Commission shall establish, maintain, and amend its own bylaws. Do you want to put that in there? I mean, it should be in the ordinance, I think.
Yeah, three. Mm-hmm.
Number three. Yeah? Yep. That you're allowed to, as a commission, write your own bylaws?
Well, I mean, they're already allowed to.
Well,
this would add us
to do
mandating it.
Yeah. Well, sure. Because what if they decide to operate without? Then, maybe it'll fall apart, the committee.
Well, two is already in there.
Right.
Two is already in the purchase policy.
It's just worded a little bit different, but that's fine. Right. So, okay. And number four, all commissioners and directors shall attend a full briefing on topics of the budgeting, finance, accounting, and budget. Should we add that? That this is a requirement? Because I think that this is, going to make sure that at least everybody would, all the directors and all the...
The manager
would.
Already does that, right?
It depends. Again, if you're having them do their finances, they just have to oversee the finances in accordance with the state purchasing and finance laws. You wouldn't be able to necessarily dictate how they spend it.
But you'll be able to train them into the purchasing...
But that's borough policy now.
Okay. So do you want to include language like that?
There is language in there already.
Okay. And then number five, at appointment, and then the director shall be supplied with the following. This was something that Beth had suggested at our sub-council meeting that, some of these items, she was saying that the recreation committee wanted to do in their bylaws anyway, and she was suggesting that, as new members pop in, that there will be sort of like a packet of different stuff that they should get so that they're up to date on things,
If most of the stuff is readily available in the municipal...
Well, it doesn't mean that they're going
to
get it. If it's in the ordinance...
So the idea is to create a record handbook, which is something I think,
good idea.
Most employers
I think that might be something better for the bylaws, personally.
Yes.
But
well, it includes the bylaws. It includes how to run a specific program if that's, you're applying to a specific program. It includes fiscal and insurance rules and regs. Everything that you need to be a full operating commissioner would be in this handbook, which would be maintained by the Recreation Commission. So it would be...
So we don't need to add anything in of this nature into the ordinance. We're going to let this in their bylaws.
I think that would be the best way.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, other recommendations?
They ask us for the various pieces of information.
Now, the last page, this is a moot point, being it's going to be the other, right. And then, municipal reliance support, okay, should be, sort of, the record should come pretty loose. Okay, well, that's just a suggestion to help the Recreation Commission in saving money, in that they would try to use the borough as much as possible before going outside. Also, helps keep their spending down, because, of course, you know...
Or use the purchasing co-op thing.
Yeah, so in other words...
I don't know if you put that in your...
But that's the purchasing manual dictates how things are purchased, so you wouldn't have to address that specifically in there.
Okay, doesn't have to be in there. All right, good. All right, so, I don't know where to go from here. I guess we could make a motion to accept the changes that were done, but...
I would think to authorize the draft ordinance...
Okay, according to these recommendations.
With what we've all suggested here, so that we have something that we can...
Good.
Can look at and...
Perfect.
Discuss any further possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. In the committee recommendation, we addressed fees, which...
Yeah, we didn't touch on those.
I guess we modified a little bit, but the idea is for the commission to propose the annual recreation fees for adoption by resolution by council, including the structure and the amount of all fees. We've had some missteps in the last few years, so right now we're not positioned to maintain some of our programs, so...
That's a good idea, that they make the recommendations to the council, and the council will vote on the fees, right?
Right, okay.
But that's in the ordinance now, the existing recreation fee schedule ordinance would just have to be amended to change rec committee to rec commissioners. The existing recreation committee fee schedule...
What I would like to avoid in the future is tearing part of the fee that has happened in the past without good, open discourse. So the recommendation comes out, the fees ended up looking nothing like what the recommendation might be, because there's conversation, so...
It would change. Based on your recommendation from the committee, the fee schedule was changed, I understand that.
Yeah, so what I think what has to happen is the commission will have to supplement with justification. Here's our fee structure, here's the justification for it, so the council has something a little bit more to bite onto and say, okay, got it, these are the fees that should be charged to the pool for the this, for the that.
Yeah, a simple budget type of thing for the various...
If the ordinance for the creation of the Rec Commission was forward, the ordinance that created the recreation fees would have to be amended simultaneously. There's language in the current fee ordinance that makes reference to Recreation Committee.
Yeah.
That would all have to be changed and amended anyway.
Okay.
So it can be amended all at the same time.
Oh, and by the way, speaking about budget, should we put in the actual wording that they have to forward to us on a specific time, a budget for the fund?
But if they're self-funding and they're only using trust funds, they wouldn't be using any current fund budget for you to insert any money into the budget. I mean, you can ask them for a breakdown on what they anticipate spending.
We could do that.
But that's already addressed in there. Any reports is requested by the governing body. If they're not spending current fund money, there's nothing for this governing body to decide on to insert in the budget.
What about deadline for the fee schedule for 2012?
Right now, I think it's by March 1st anyway.
March 1st.
So, I mean, again, just so everyone understands the process, after I create the amended draft again, once this moves forward, introduction, adoption, public hearing, things of that nature, it still needs to go to the Director of Local Government Services to create this trust, because the Rec Committee Trust is different than the Rec Commission Trust.
Right.
So it'll have to go down there. So chances are, most of these things will have plenty of time to amend the fee schedule and issues prior to becoming enacted.
Okay. Well, on our side, we'll work on a template or a model for that.
Use the existing one,
and
then tweak the existing one. I can email it to you if you don't have it.
Does the ordinance have to, if they're going to be totally autonomous or whatever, everything's coming out of their trust, that means, the pool maintenance, there no money is coming from us then?
Well, that would, again...
That's what I'm getting.
That would be a policy decision. Right now, say you're paying, aside from the debt, because the borough legally assumes the debt, but the governing body will have to decide, all right, who pays the utilities? Who pays the phone bill? Who pays the electric bill? Is it all commission? Is it a mix?
Well, it is now that we...
That's what I'm saying. Right, but even right now, it's a mix. Right now, all their fees...
Should that be, that's what I'm saying. Do we need to address that in this ordinance?
Yes, we should, absolutely.
So we're still missing something. Maybe, can you tell us things that we're still missing?
Right.
The biggest issue is that. I mean, who wants, do we want to have the mix right now where we pay the utility bills?
No, so you're all or nothing. We're going to do everything.
And they pay programs? Or, I mean, that's a council decision.
Excuse me, Mr. Feldman, how was it done before? You were on the...
It was a mix, correct?
I don't know.
Utilities paid for by...
By the borough.
The money that came in was three sources. You had money from activity fees, you had the borough's contribution, which is about $82.5, I think, the last bit of commission was existing. And then you had any trust fund money that rolled over from the year before. The utilities were paid for the most part, by the borough. Okay, for instance, the phone bill, the water bill. You look at it, you got a big thing of money, and that's what everything got paid out of. Whether it was borough money or activity money, it was all put together.
Mr. Shaw, you have a comment? I'm sorry.
That's correct.
Yeah, and it was a big pot of money.
Well, no, it was three pots. But it was three pots.
But we didn't say that, $10 from this activity went to pay the gas.
No, the borough traditionally paid the utilities and, of course, the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And they also paid for certain, capital improvements, maintenance issues, things of that nature.
But it did come out of our budget.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
It did come out of our budget.
No, correct. When I say the borough, I mean the current fund.
Right,
Correct.
But we paid,
as part of...
responsible for paying.
As part of the municipal contribution.
Right.
Oh, no, excuse me, utilities never came out. Utilities were always a separate line item. But be that as it may, I guess the question is, all one way or a mix? That's a fundamental question that council needs to answer. Ms. Shaw, you had a comment you wanted to make?
Yeah, actually, two questions. Let's think in golden days in the future. Let's say that the economy does well and everything is running better around town. Historically, the town has donated some amount of money towards recreation. Let's say for the creation of a new program or to conduct some special event, let's say Easter or Christmas lights, lighting or something like that. Will this ordinance prevent that from happening? Because isn't that language in there?
No,
I don't believe it.
The concern that there will never be any future interest of donation, even as small as $500, from the budget.
Yeah, that would be a policy decision of the council as to whether they were going to give anything.
Right, and it would not in any way affect the commission's ability to function. Would that restrict the commission's, as I was saying, this money is coming to you for efficiency lighting.
No, you would just get a dollar amount from the fund, right? We wouldn't tell them how to spend it, right?
Right. If they say, okay, we want to make a capital purchase or we're requesting a contribution this year, by default, the governing body would have some say in that because they're raising it in municipal property tax dollars. The same way the Board of Adjustment Planning Board saying, here's our budget. You approve or deny it.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't need any money from you, they wouldn't be before you. If they need money, you have a right to dictate how it's spent.
Yeah.
But that's only if they come to you requesting additional funds.
But if you get a donation...
The annual donation, we wouldn't...
Again, it's your choice. If they come to you with a request, that's one thing. If you say, I want to make an annual contribution of X dollars...
Right, we wouldn't spend it
the
how they want.
In accordance with all the purchasing and finance...
So that doesn't change the ordinance. So getting back to the question on the ordinance, this thing with the mix, I just have
one
thing.
Hold on, Mr. Shaw, is still
I'm sorry, you're not done. I'm sorry.
The way I see the funding structure that you're promoting for the commission is that revenue is generated by the sports. Any donation or fundraising capabilities that we have, other than maybe the campaign donating, as they do currently, the $40,000 for the two positions. Do you see in the future when excluding that function of covering the director and secretary salary?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Sure.
So it would have to be covered by the two sources of
revenue. Or you could use it from whatever the amount we council donates.
But on the, as to my question, as to the mix, in case we decide to go that way, maybe we can just have certain utilities paid for all the time in the ordinance, and that's it. And then this would give them maybe that little flexibility I'm hearing from Penny, especially in needed money, where they don't have to keep asking us for more money just to, you know, fund their director and secretary.
Here's a suggestion, if I could. For this year, we have an approved budget that includes a rec committee. Take that money, when their commission is established, take whatever the balance is in there, give that to the commission. I would say, whether it's to pay the electric bill, whether it's to pay the phone bill, whether it's to pay the whatever, water bill, whatever, but I think that there are some things that are, that have to be taken care of. Insurance, that's the borough's responsibility, I would say.
Good point.
It's borough and property. I think for this year, because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a developer that's going to make a substantial donation to the recreation?
But we don't know when exactly that's going to happen.
But it's going to happen. So my,
well, it should.
Listen, for the rest of this year, I would say that we continue to carry the utility bills just the way it's established right now.
For 2011, as it is right now, that's what's budgeted.
Okay.
In all reality, the earliest this will go into effect after state approval probably won't be until January next year anyway.
Okay.
2011 is a non-issue. It's what you do with 2012 and beyond.
Okay.
The utilities that you're referring to, electrical, sewer, phone, the going through that permitting system, is the one that's currently being fed by a spring, and water should not be an issue.
Toilets. The water only fills the pool from the well.
Yeah, she said sewer.
The sewer, which is over there.
But you still have the water for it, the other buildings.
Currently, are those items broken out in the town bill?
Yes.
Per location?
Yes. Okay. Everywhere there's a separate meter, we get a separate. It may be combined on one bill, but it's broken down by meter.
Okay. And my question is, you can tell me whether I have to do this or not, would it be on the committee, or would it be any part of the committee's ability to, let's say, go to Verizon and say, hey, your phone plan you've given us is inadequate. We want to change it. Would we be allowed as commissioners to alter that utility? Because maybe we can get a better plan. Because the last phone that left down at the park made no sense. It was like $200.
Because there was multiple phone lines. They've since been canceled.
Okay. Well,
and what she said is that you go out and negotiate for a better electric rate, a better phone
rate.
It's
still a governmental entity. Ultimately,
you're going to get better than the
town rate.
Better than
borough.
Well,
if
you're
paying for it, can commission negotiate a better rate? I mean, obviously, sewer, no. But at least phone, and maybe...
Because I'm just thinking out loud, all the bills would be in your name. They'd follow the normal purchasing procedure, and they'd be cut with separate checks from the rec trust. So I'd have to say yes, you could.
What if...
Not you want to give that happen. A qualified yes, just in case?
I mean, I have to...
You believe it to be that way?
I believe it to be that way. It's no different than what the library does now. The library enters into own bills for their own utilities.
Say this to the next level, somewhere in the future. I have not discussed this with the rest. Maybe just, I don't know, but there are organizations that are willing to give towns solar panels and solar... concept on top of roofs for the pool. If they're willing to give it to us because it's a commission, it's a public option, would that
I think you'd have to come to the council for permission for that, since we would actually be the property owner.
Okay.
Okay, that's how I would think of it.
Well, correct, whoever owns the building, you'd have to get approval. But there's still respective zoning and all the other associated concerns with it.
Right, but as a...
But we could do that now.
In theory, yeah.
Okay, that's all.
But anyway, most likely, Penny, you're probably not going to get better rates than the government already gets, anyway. Could be, okay.
Okay, do we have anything else for Rec Commission?
No.
You have something?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll make all the changes.
Okay, let's go on to new business.
Thank you.
Guess you forgot. We have the regional school budget. Warren Hills was defeated. We're looking for volunteers who will go to the meeting on Monday, May 9th at 6:30 p.m.
I got three plans, I think. John?
Well, I might have a potential conflict, so I'll probably be abstaining on my vote, but I can go to the meeting.
I'll go.
You can do that, Mr. Higgins? Your schedule will allow it?
It's going to have to.
Or do you want to give a qualified, I'll do it?
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do it.
I can't.
So we need three?
No, more than three.
Okay.
Okay.
So John, you can do it, though?
Yeah.
All right, sure. John, is that it?
All right. Just the...
Thanks.
John and Dave, then?
Dave, are you going to go?
I don't know, does it have, I spoke with Rich, does it have a...
You probably should recuse, I would think.
Because of the...
Potential.
No. Truth be told, I applied for a couple of jobs there.
Oh, okay.
I've been on a place of June, so I wouldn't want to, you know.
If you're still on their quote active list, I would suggest you recuse yourself. If you're...
Mr. Boyle is often thinking it's not a...
Well, I'll go.
I mean...
Okay.
It's better for you that way, then I'll make arrangements.
All right, so three, that's good.
Dave, Pat, and John.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, well, I don't see any humor in it.
All right, that brings us up to Resolution 82-2011, redemption of a tax certificate.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a roll call, please.
Higgins.
Yes.
Joel.
Yes.
Levi.
Yes.
Torres.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Wes.
Vouchers.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the pay of bills, sir.
I had a couple of questions.
Second.
Is there a second? Okay. Now your question.
Page one, I see that the...
I'm sorry, sewer or current, which one you looking at?
The current. I see the curb your dog signs you got for the, up here in the Meadows section of the town. $259.66 for how many signs? One or two?
I would have to check the invoice downstairs. I think it was six. Four or six signs. The aluminum's expensive.
Yeah,
though.
I guess, yeah.
That's the problem.
Death
board.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
The answer.
Well, I'm with there, but just up on page four. Internet service, are we paying out of the Comcast grant?
Which page?
Page four, I'm sorry, internet service, the top thing.
Yeah, at the end of the year, what we do is, ultimately, yes, we're going to be paying for that. What we're going to do is reimburse the account from that trust account at the end of the year.
I just wasn't sure. And page 14, I marked here, let me see what I marked. Oh, the monitoring fees, parking lot. Hazardous waste compliance. What exactly is that? If you can explain that.
We have monitoring wells within the parking lot, due environmentally.
Oh, the ones they put last year or the year before?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. And each year we have to do supplemental reports to the state. That's what.
Okay. That's it.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have. Of course. You have page 18. The big one, $12,000, $13,000.
So what about?
Okay. Well. This is a bill. This is for, as a matter of fact, for the well falls out of the park.
Correct.
That was replaced.
Correct.
Okay. Underneath it, the quote from that guy right there was $663.50?
Correct. No. The original quote was $12,700. It had to be increased by $663 because once they pulled it out, they found out there's a lot more pipe that was underground and damaged and needed to be replaced. If you look underneath, it says cost adjustment due to amended pipe corner.
Okay, now my question is, this $13,000 that for this bill right here, does this now come out of that $40,000 that was put in their budget?
No. If you look to the right, it comes out of the trust account. It comes out of the recreation trust account.
That's signified by the B?
No, signified by the T, T-16. Recreation Trust, Parks and Playgrounds Maintenance and Repair.
So what do they have for a balance in their, in their?
40. Coincidentally, it happens to be 40. They had 53, now they have 40.
45.
I was speaking to Councilwoman Kaliba earlier today on this very same issue. She asked me about it. What I was going to propose to council is, earlier in the year, it's very difficult to get a final projection on what you, you plan on spending.
Correct.
My recommendation to council after November 1st would be, is if the current fund has flexibility in it, to transfer some money from current to trust to offset that cost with council's approval, in essence, give REC their money back. They need it more than the current fund would need it. But I won't know till the end of the year if it can be financially done.
Okay.
Make it easy. Say between, you know, all the borough current fund, I'm able to scrape up 10 grand somewhere.
That couldn't be considered a capital project because it's going to last more than 5 years?
It can be.
I mean, we put $35,000 into the capital account last year, right? We cut that $75,000.
Yeah, but that's...
I think it was spent most of that $35,000.
Remember, a lot of it was spent on the various grants and the various, like, Beethoven Ave has to pay for a good portion of that.
But I thought we had a balance of over $100,000.
Two words, or one word, interfund. Remember,
I hate that word.
I hate it too. We're paying them all back. You have to raise money to pay them all back. You know, will I be able to squeak out 14 grand at the end of the year to get council's authorization and shift back? I don't know.
All right. Well,
my goal is to try and get as much as I can.
If you can.
Okay. Anything else on the vouchers? Roll call, please.
Yes, I abstain on everything that has to do with the fire department.
Torres?
Yes.
Lita?
Yes, everything except for Sonali on page 6.
Cool.
Yes, everything except for squad and fire department. Yes.
Valentine?
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Okay, recap.
I will reach out to Hyams and let them know that we're going to politely decline the grant Recreation Volunteer Day. I'll send out our email blast in accordance with the request. I will create on our website and in Borough Hall the subcommittee list requested by council. I'll make all the changes to the Recreation Committee ordinance based on what was discussed tonight.
Okay. Council report.
Just on that last, will that be ready for introduction at the next meeting?
Introduction? No. I would not suggest you introduce it until you review it and tweak it, because even if I make all these changes, I mean, everyone in this room can guarantee there's going to be changes.
Yeah.
I would not be premature on this,
especially
since we're not going to do anything until January. No point in rushing this.
Council remarks. Mr. Torres.
Oh, well, I just want to, again, say thank you to, you know, our Mr. Del Alba here, because he did such fine work himself on the forensic audit and getting everything to the point where it is now. And he, of course, thanked the council. So we're thanking him back as well. Other than that, you know, I have no other comments.
Okay, Mr. Jewell.
Same thing. Good job to everybody involved in the Forensic Audit Committee. Ball's rolling, and it's rolling fast. So that's good. The other thing I noticed, too, with Norfolk Southern donates some railroad ties to the Borough Park.
Yes.
That for, was that for a wall? Or?
We asked them if they were interested in donating some of the ones they're replacing to put at the bottom of the, when you pull in the parking lot to the park where we have all the new wood chips, to put there so to stop it from rolling.
I didn't know if we didn't know about it or what.
Okay.
That's fine. So basically nothing else.
Mr. Boyle.
Richard, is anything going on with the garage shared service?
The garage?
Maintenance of repairs with vehicles?
Oh, the township committee had spoke about it a few months ago. They said we'll think about it. Then they said they're not interested. Then they said we'll get back to you after the budget process.
After their budget process.
Well, what about the police department? Would that be considered a shared service? They're going to repair police cars?
No, this is this is something different. This is if we wanted their mechanics for our assistance.
Well, basically what we're doing, really, with our police cars, we're paying for half of, they're actually repairing them.
Yeah, but this would be other borough vehicles, road department, fire department, something like that, if I were able to.
One other quick thing. Edna had brought up about the tonnage limit. You know, we have North... Is that road posted not to exceed 4 tons, do you know? Have any ordinance? Would it have to be signs posted?
Well, it wouldn't have to be posted because the ordinance dictates that.
But
can a police officer enforce that if it's not there? Probably not. But then we'd have to put one on every street in town.
because it's borough-wide.
Okay.
So, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know. I've driven down the street many times. It's one of those things I didn't pay
attention. Probably not going to be enforced.
It's a very difficult thing to enforce.
That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
I don't want to screw
it up.
I just had one thing. I was reading the recycling news and where they congratulated the certified recycling coordinators, and we have one, and I spoke with Rich, and we are continuing classes, and eventually the borough will be listed as certified as well.
Good. Mr. Valentine.
I think I'm glad we finally got the approval to get this over and done with and move forward. Forensic audit, I think it's great. And I also think the council made a big mistake in turning down the grant funding to do the compliance stuff. Thank you.
Mr. Higgins.
Well, yes, I have a number of things that I would like to say. Number one, dovetailing off of what he said, those railroad ties, what are they treated with, and what are our kids climbing on?
They don't want to climb on anything. This is just a...
I understand what you're saying, but you know how the kids are down there with the skateboards?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use those to do whatever, and you're going to have little kids running all over down there. I would personally feel more comfortable knowing if they were treated with a toxic chemical, and we're putting them down there. Because not only are they there in the parking lot area, they're around the basketball court.
Simple solution, you can polyurethane them all after.
And I don't know.
Because especially with the rain and everything, you can't get substitute plywood anymore with arsenic to put that in.
Right. The ACQ replaced that, so I don't know. I'll be honest, off the top of my head, my assumption is it's traded the same as telephone.
We can just make sure that it's not toxic. I would appreciate that.
Due to their age, they're probably, everything that's going to leach out has leached out.
Well, I don't know. Some of them were still pretty wet.
Yeah.
We talked last year about this refinancing our debt to cut down on our,
That's expensive.
There you go. Thank you. I'm drawing the blank. All right. Is there any way that Natasha or Tom could find out if, you know, at a quick overview, if we would fall under that 3%?
3.5%. And we checked, this is part of the budget process, not too long ago. We check constantly. So as the rates adjust, everything else adjusts.
Okay.
We typically check before our bond sales, too.
Okay, so...
The answer is we still can't reap the percentage required.
Okay, so do you think that we could contact this guy, Mr. Neff, who seems to be a fan of the boroughs, that to say, listen, we want to...
Well, it's not his approval. It's the local finance board that has approval.
I understand that, but he knows people.
Well, there's a big article in the paper. They changed the policy not too long ago, saying that they're no longer authorizing non-conforming refunding bonds.
Okay.
It was a policy directive from the state.
Okay. Are all our bonds non-conforming?
No, non-conforming refunding bond, meaning
okay.
We can't refinance if we don't meet the requirements.
Okay. So what does that mean to us? Do we meet the requirements?
No.
We don't meet it.
We don't reap enough savings in order to be eligible for a state-authorized refunding bond. We don't meet the percentage in savings.
I'm going to write the governor a letter if anybody...
There's enough paper.
To find out.
As a citizen, you're welcome to write any elected official.
Well, you know what I'm going to put at the end of it, too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, listen, sin lies the problem.
Another thing.
That's executive.
Diamond David. The sale of excess equipment.
Hmm?
When are we going to do another sale?
I was scheduled to do it next week, but I'm waiting until now. The school budget is going to be an issue. I'm waiting for that to finish. Everything's on my desk.
All right. Will we know by the next council meeting when there's we have to publish it, right? The council has to approve the public statement. The excess property sale.
Well, yeah, I have to have a resolution passed. There's two items. And I was waiting until... First of all, I was going to do it after the regular budget done, and then the school went down until we're dealing with that. So as soon as we're done with that...
So within the next month?
Well, my goal is to get it done in the summer.
Okay.
That's fine.
Till the summer. Okay. And then, on a personal note, I would like to thank the United States Navy SEALs for an excellent job.
Yeah.
Oh, you stole my thunder.
I thought I was going to get there.
Those boys are B-A-W-B bad.
Okay, well, I would just reiterate Mr. Higgins' last statement. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
About time.
That's all that I have. Now I would accept, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Hitt, do you have something?
Real quick, in case anyone gets any phone calls, there was such a tremendous amount of vegetative waste out there today. There's still a lot out there. They're coming back tomorrow to pick it up. That combined with the fact that one of their drivers was hospitalized today while they were out on the road. So in case anyone gets any phone calls about the delay, that's why. It's going on our website. It's going to be, as soon as you call the main number, it's going to be there. So they're coming back tomorrow to finish up.
Is our guy going to be all right?
It was not our guy. It was our Blue Diamond guy, but yes, it was from heat exhaustion.
One quick thing. I noticed on the borough email we get a lot of spam lately. My guy Michael emailed.
Oh, I know.
I've been paying him to send it.
It's annoying because you delete it. You go to click on his link on subscribe. It doesn't take
it. You delete it, it still sits there. So
just put it right into your spam folder and then
I don't have a spam folder.
I don't either. It's irritating.
It's junk mail. It says junk mail.
I don't have a junk mail.
Delete it.
If you delete it, it still sits there.
Right click on it, and I think it gives you the option to put in his junk email.
There's a junk email.
Oh, okay, I'll do
that. Because, I do it on mine, so.
Can I make a motion to go into executive?
After a five-minute break?
Sure.
That would be Resolution 83, 2011.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussions? All in favor?